much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Stay here with me. Get in on the ground floor of this thing. Who knows? This could turn out to be a big hunk of bull. But it'll be our hunk of bull.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's a sausage competition.
Oh, in like sausage eating?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
King of the kubasa.
I bet it's delicious.
It is.
How dare me? How dare you?
Oh, man, not another election. Why do we have to choose our leaders? Isn't that what we have the Supreme Court for?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. But I'm not real proud of it.
Thank you. Finally, someone who makes a little sense around here.
And now, welcome, ladies. Legs should be comfortably apart. 18 inches or so.
Our feature presentation.
That sounds about right. Welcome
That's
into another.
Not what? Good advice.
Ladies, legs 18 inches apart?
No.
That sounds about right.
Nah.
Nah.
Okay. It is an all new Kevin and Bean show this time for a Wednesday, the 30th of March. How are you guys?
Doing good. How about you, Bean?
Gave a lot of thought to your theory that Kevin is not dead, as mm-hmm. Ralph suggested yesterday,
yeah.
but that he is being held hostage, that
yes.
he is captive somewhere?
Yeah.
How did you arrive at this conclusion?
Well, I just don't want to think he's dead.
Oh, I see. But so this is best case scenario.
Best case scenario.
Just being held against his will.
And Ralph brought up a good point. There's no way he's not dead. Who can miss this much work ever unless you're dead?
Unless you're dead, right.
But I believe he's being held prisoner somewhere.
Okay.
By a angry mob.
Did you look for clues in the tweet that was sent from Kevin's account and wonder who is tweeting for him because it was spelled correctly?
Mm.
And there was a photo that was properly attached. It looked like it was only posted one time. So I do feel it could not have been Kevin.
No way.
So somebody not only is holding him hostage, but somebody is trying to make it appear as if he is of free will living in the world.
Well, they did everything wrong. So obviously he's being held hostage.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't realize that that was going to be a tip-off to those of us on the outside world that clearly it's not Kevin attempting to tweet.
Was it about soccer, though?
There were plenty of soccer tweets. It's been nonstop these last few days, has it?
Come on.
But I'm referring to the tweet of that was a Photoshop tweet of him water skiing on the back of of the Most Interesting Man in the World.
Yeah.
Which is a very Kevin thing. I think Kevin came up with that.
Sure. He told them, said, this is what you're going to do. They'll know it's me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My wife and I have kidnap questions, by the way. Have you had that in relationships where in the event that somebody gets kidnapped?
Oh, yeah. Okay. A word.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually ours are questions about our life, like what's the food our pig ham sandwich wouldn't eat as a baby but loved it as an adult. Something like that people just would never know, you know, except for people who – but we have and Donna has sometimes stopped me and said, why do we need so many questions?
Yeah, maybe just one solid one.
Because we have like 40 of them and we're always adding on. And she's like, how many times am I going to get kidnapped? Right. Because it just seems like you're overdoing here. But I think it's good to have that just because you never know. Like if Kevin had a kidnap question right now, maybe he'd be able to get some message to his wife and he could be rescued.
Yeah, a friend of mine was in an Uber recently, and when the Uber picked him up, it was a woman driving, and then her sketchy boyfriend in the passenger seat.
Oh,
so he's like, I'm gonna die. Do I get out of the car? What do I do? Do I just do like a roll out in the middle of the drive? And then he stopped texting me for a bit, and then I said, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, I'm fine. And I said, okay, then tell me this. And I started asking him kidnap questions.
To make sure it was really him and not the sketchy boyfriend.
Yes. You need that with your friends. If you don't have it, get on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like having an earthquake preparedness kit.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of couples, by the way, this is a great story I've been meaning to get to the last few days. It's out of a St. Louis, Missouri suburb. Did you hear about Carla? Her name is Squitieri. Carla Squitiera and her husband, Bernie. By the way, she's a little bit of a trophy wife. She's looks considerably younger than Bernie in the television interview that I saw. There's got to be about a 25-year age difference. Mm-hmm. And they're doing pretty well for themselves, except a couple of Sunday nights ago, apparently Bernie was cleaning up around the kitchen after dinner and accidentally, in picking up the trash on the counter, threw away a napkin that Carla had taken her engagement ring off and left inside when she was apparently preparing dinner. So he threw away her engagement ring. And she, the next morning, said, "Hey, I left my ring on the counter. Have you seen it?" And he's like, "Rut-row." They went to the trash, but it had been taken out the night before. And the trash man had come that morning. On that Monday morning, the trash man had come and had been gone for several hours at that point when the conversation happened. And they realized after looking everywhere else, that's exactly what happened to her engagement ring, is that it ended up in the trash and now it was on the way to the dump. So they called the trash company in Meridian Waste Services and said, "Hey, can you turn the truck around, or can we go to the dump where the truck is going to be, or what's the deal?" And they said, and this was shocking to me, this is the most shocking part of the story to me, is that the trash dump near St. Louis where it goes is in Bridgeton, and it is radioactive, and it is against federal law for the public to go there.
Oh, dear. You don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that at all.
Oh,
so they talked the dispatcher into diverting the truck to a different facility, one that was not radioactive, that they could then go to. And then I guess here's my question for you guys is, do you make that trip to the dump where there are 8 tons of trash and look for your kitchen bag to find your engagement ring? Or do you just say, "Well, we had a good run, that ring and me"?
I think you go.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
This dump contains trash for more than 900 customers, as I mentioned. Oh. It was 8 tons of trash.
But did they know, like, in a general area where that truck was going to be dumping, since it wasn't a normal truck to dump in that area?
I mean, it's possible that somebody could have directed him to the most recent truck that arrived. Yeah, I guess that's possible. So they wouldn't have to comb through the entire yard. My first thought was we were never going to find it. It was like finding a needle in a haystack. But a worker from the trash company that was with them eventually did find the bag and the ring and returned it to the woman.
Yeah.
So there is a happy ending. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention that the ring was a 12.5-carat diamond ring.
Yeah, they're going to look for that.
$400,000.
Come on. Are you serious?
Yes.
Who needs that?
A $400,000 ring.
Oh, God.
That's the lotto for me. That was my Powerball, she said. No, the Powerball is when you attracted that 30 years older than you man at the bar that night a few years ago. That was the Powerball.
Oh, Bernie.
So anyway, a very happy ending for Carla and Bernie, who went through the trash and found her engagement ring. So let's be happy for them, right?
Yay.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm not Jesus.
Hey, we got a lot of show for you today, including one of my favorite segments that we do every week on Wednesday mornings, which is we talk to O.J. Simpson himself about the People versus O.J. Simpson. You watched last night, Allie?
I did.
Poor Marcia Clark. Don't you just you cry for her every week? Her life is so miserable.
I feel so bad for her.
I do, too. It's a great show, and there's one more episode left. Colin Hanks on the program today. He, of course, was the lead singer of Men at Work. He had a very popular Down Under song.
No, this is Colin Hanks, the actor.
Who can it be now?
Life in Pieces.
Oh, I'm thinking of Colin Hay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. This is
very
different. This is the actor Colin Hanks. I like him, too. That's fine. I'm still going to ask him my Men at Work questions, though, because that's what I prepared.
Sure you will.
The great Bob Saget will be joining us in studio today, star of Fuller House, and, of course, one of the featured acts on this weekend's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show at the Shrine. We love Bob. Going to be great to see him again. Lucas Graham is stopping by today. He's the guy with the same name as his band, which is very confusing, but they sing that 7 Year song, and he's going to be coming on by to tell us what's going on in his little world today. And actor Colman Domingo will be joining us as well. He is one of the stars of Fear of the Walking Dead, which I think Chip comes back 2 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, the 10th, I think.
Right after regular Walking Dead. Walking Dead OG is over. They go right into Fear of the Walking Dead.
Regular.
Whatever they call it. Anyway, looking forward to all of that. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. the late Paula Pierce.
Paula Pierce.
From the Pandoras.
That was
doing a solo
Panic at the Disco
thing there. Called Dark November.
No, it's not what it was called at all.
Yeah, we've got to get somebody to cover that. You know, I actually gave a copy of that to Wilson Phillips.
Oh,
and
here
hopefully
we go.
Maybe they may
good choice
cover it.
They don't, they're not even
they
together anymore, Rodney.
Conclusion. And here are the Monkees.
No, we're not playing any more Monkees.
Apparently we are. Well, that would be the definitive, like, holy grail of cover bands. If you get Wilson Phillips to do a song, now it's been done. Right? Now it's been sung.
They're not even a thing anymore.
I know.
They're just, there's one, there's like two Wilsons over here and a Phillips over there. They're not even Wilson Phillips.
It'll make them sad. Don't let them know. All right, it's Wednesday morning, 5:57, time for our first look at the show, Biz Beat. Here's the new guy.
I want to give a heads up to folks. Once again, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show this Friday night at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
April Fool's Night, if you will. Oh, the
no.
shenanigans.
No, will you really do it?
Anything can happen on April Fool's. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets and more details. We have a good time. People had a good time last week, although many
you
people
know, no.
were angry at me.
Why were they angry?
Why were people angry?
There's some fascist fanboys out there who didn't like my take on a certain film, but the less said about that, the better.
Stop having opinions, Ralph.
Right, I got in trouble here, too, for having an
opinion. Oh, no.
Yeah, jeez. Right? People, right?
We're all just people.
That's true. Sad news, Oscar and Emmy winner Patty Duke has passed away at the age of 69. You may not be familiar with her work, but at one time she was a red-hot commodity in Hollywood. Smash hit TV series in which she played identical cousins. That was the original show that had that, which became a sort of a goofy trope after that fact about people playing identical cousins. But back then, it was pretty funny. The Patty Duke Show was a huge hit, and she won an Emmy for her work on that. And then she also won an Oscar for playing Helen Keller in the movie The Miracle Worker, about the young Helen Keller being taught by her teacher, Annie Sullivan. Another smash hit. She was the president of the Screen Actors Guild from 1985 to 1988. And she was a beloved proponent and spokesperson for mental health issues at all. She was bipolar herself and did a lot of good work for people who had mental health issues. So sad.
She's the second president of SAG to die in the last week.
That's true. Good point.
Because Ken Howard, remember, we lost a few days ago.
Do not hang out with Jenny Garth.
Is she running it now?
I have no idea. I just pulled a name out of my hat.
I'm thinking it's definitely not Jenny Garth.
I don't think it's Jenny Garth. No. Who is it?
I don't know.
I thought
but
it was Ken
Melissa
Howard.
Gilbert?
Ken Howard was. He was the president, but someone's running it now. So there's an interim president.
Oh,
you don't just
he died.
Shut down the union, Bean.
No, come on.
There's things that work's got to get done.
I didn't know they had selected a new chief.
Well, there's an interim. There hasn't been an election, but there are vice presidents and things in the union. Give me your card back.
Ferguson.
Give me your card back, by the way. You have a card. That's disgusting to me.
I do have a card.
Disgusting to me. I got to bring that up at the next meeting. Pull Bean's card. Put that on the itinerary.
Do you go to meetings?
Yes!
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes, I'm very active in the union. I love my union. Union. Oh, you don't like unions, communist?
Nope.
Oh, thanks, Obama. And what do you do if you look just like Kim Kardashian? Well, you become a whore, naturally. Just ask Christine Hamm. She is a 26-year-old executive assistant, she calls herself. Here in Los Angeles, she's a dead ringer for Kim Kardashian. So what has she done?
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
She has joined a dating site called What's Your Price?
Oh.
These are women who are willing to go out with men who pony up a certain amount of cash.
Well, that sounds an awful lot like something else.
Well, there's no sex exchanged, Allie, according to the website
sure.
and according to Christine. It's just men who want to be seen with lovely ladies and are willing to pay for the privilege.
Okay.
That significantly lowers the amount I'm willing to pay.
She says she usually charges $200 for the first date, but has made up to a cool $10,000.
That's a lot of talking.
And she owes it all to her uncanny resemblance to Kim Kardashian.
Huh.
What'syourprice.com.
Interesting.
If anyone's looking for a girl that looks like Angela from The Office.
What's your price, Angela from The Office? Oh, I would like build a little set and pretend to be a Dunder Mifflin and I would bring you in and pretend it's after hours. I was Jim.
Allie, I want you to think about what your price is, and then I want you to think about how much more the price is if the man insists on taking you hiking on that
day. Oh, good Lord.
Or on a cruise.
Oh, no.
Or on a cruise.
Oh, I'm sweating.
You have kidnapping questions. You're both dopes, by the way.
Why?
It's the dumbest conversation I've ever heard in the morning, and that says something.
Come on. You have, like, a safe... Not a
easy.
Safe word.
Easy there, Angela from the office.
You guys
actually,
have...
Ralph probably does have a safe word. Well, that's a different conversation, though.
Plenty of safe words, but no sure. kidnapping questions.
But you want to know that's really your spouse on the other end of that you know, that text or phone line or something like that. You want to make sure it's really the
if
person.
If your spouse is kidnapped, first of all, they're not going to play a game with you and guess if it's real or not. They're going to send you ransom demands.
Right, but you want to make sure they really have her.
Right.
And at some point, you want to make sure she's still alive.
Right, so you ask for photographic proof of life.
Why
like a picture, like a holding the newspaper with a picture or something.
What if they're not going to do that? What if you say, I
then
need
she's
to know.
Dead. Then that person's dead.
No.
And by the way, who has a newspaper anymore, Ralph? Nobody
right?
holds
Come
up newspapers
on, Ralph.
Anymore.
They exist. Go down the corner and get one. Go to 7-Eleven, your favorite place
oh,
in the world.
Oh, now you're telling the kidnappers what to do. She's going to die,
I
Ralph.
I need proof of life.
Oh.
Your little questions aren't going to cut it.
Yeah.
Well, I suggest you revisit your kidnap questions with your wife when you get home today, because
yep.
there's going to come a time where you're going to think back on this conversation and wish you'd listened to the voice of reason.
Like
here.
Bean's wife, by the way, is ever going to admit that she's really on the other end of his text once she gets free. Once she gets out from under, you think she's going to say, oh, yeah, it's me. Come get me. She'll never hear from her again. She's going to ghost.
In fact, she'll split the money with the kidnapper.
Oh, yeah.
And have a great
no.
life.
Her and Stryker will just run off to whatever Caribbean island they want to live on.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah. I think that's actually likely.
Today's celebrity birthday is Warren Beatty is 7'9".
Oh,
thank you, Dave.
He is 7'9" today. Eric Clapton is 7'1". MC Hammer. MC Hammer, it's Hammer time.
I told you, homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we live.
Can I touch it?
Can't touch
it. Frustrating.
Look at my eyes.
Can I just touch it?
You can't touch this.
Come on!
So close.
I just want to, just let me touch it. So frustrating. MC Hammer is 54 today.
Waving it around your face like that, but still
touch
no touching.
Ian Ziering's 52. Piers Morgan.
So do you like bees?
What happened?
Ian Ziering.
Oh, right.
He's the bees guy.
Oh, okay. Piers Morgan's 51, Celine Dion's 48, and singer Norah Jones, 37 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you a little something about K-Rock, as we are dialed in with Coachella, which is just 16 days away. By the way, that's how we're really going to know whether Kevin is dead or alive, is if anyone sees him at Coachella. Because if he's alive, he's going to figure out a way to go to Coachella.
No question.
He's not going to miss that. We continue to give away sold-out three-day passes to Coachella every afternoon at 5. Also, access to the Coachella house. And you qualify to drive home in a brand-new 2016 Jeep Renegade. So if you are one of the many people who was frustrated because the tickets sold out immediately when they went on sale, you've not been able to get Coachella tickets. 5 o'clock this afternoon, once again with our friend Ted Stryker, you could win them from K-Rock. They always say that everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. And that is still the case. That's an expression. You've heard that.
How do you do something about it?
That's the thing. That's the point. It's one of the things that everybody bitches about, but it's kind of pointless to bitch about. Look, if it's hot, it's just hot. There's nothing you or anybody can do about it, and talking about it is not going to help. But maybe it would feel better if you could get it off your chest if you have complaints about the weather, and that's why I am happy to say that there is now a phone number that you can call to, if you're feeling emotional about the heat or the rain or the humidity or whatever's going on in the weather that's upsetting you, you can call and yell at somebody if you want to. It's called Weather Vent, and it is a professional service helping the modern Australian. It is an Australian number. And this is a lady who loves talking about the weather. Her name is Angela Garrick, and she took out a classified ad in newspapers around Australia saying things like this. Weather Vent. Have you ever wondered why there's nowhere to turn when your birthday party is ruined by a thunderstorm? Weather Vent is a professional service assisting you. Call now. And then she gives the number to vent your frustrations. Can you imagine being the person who makes that call?
Well, is someone on the other line to
no, it's an
talk
answer
you
machine.
Through? What the?
It's an answer machine.
Stop.
It's just a way for you to complain about the weather. Because, look, your friends don't want to hear about it.
Right.
So I actually did some digging yesterday on the weather complaints hotline, and I pulled a couple of calls so that we get an idea for the type of person that actually is going to use this service. Here's example number one.
This is the most humid
summer I've ever had in Sydney in the 10 years I've been here. I should be used to humidity. I grew up in a more humid area. But I have to say, the thing that's not the most irritating part, it's not the actual physical feelings I feel, but how many more cockroaches there are around, and it's also harder to kill fleas within the humid conditions.
He's got a lot going on.
Fleas and cockroaches thrive, and I just can't get rid of them.
Okay, so he's got... I mean, look, the weather has really impacted his life in a negative way. Look at all the cockroaches. Look at all the fleas. This really does make Australia sound like a must-visit location, doesn't it?
Not brought to you by the Tourism Board.
By the way, when I was listening to these calls yesterday, and I understand that Australia and New Zealand are separate countries, but their accents are so similar that I kept feeling like this was a Flight of the Conchords skit.
Oh, don't say that.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
They don't like that.
They don't care for the Australians, I know. But they do sound similar. All right, let's find out the next caller to the weather vent line.
I've lived in Sydney for the past 24 years, and I've never experienced summer with such unusual weather patterns. Reading a recent Herald article suspecting that planetary alignment might be the cause in conjunction with global warming.
By the way, I don't know what's going on with this guy's phone.
He's like,
but he's
calling from old-timey times. It's happening.
It sounds like Winston Churchill doing a World War II address, doesn't it? All right, so he's been reading some articles in the paper. He's got some. He's got weather thoughts.
Would be possible. Mars is in the ascendant, it says. Still, makes you think. Planets affecting the Earth's weather?
Oh.
Yes, that's true. People say that about Luna, Moon. The Moon influences the tides. The tides influence the weather. Simple as that.
And the only thing we have to fear is fear. It's, it doesn't sound like he's addressing Congress or something.
It's very bizarre.
Love that guy. All right, and one more, again, from the Weather Vent Hotline in Australia. These are people who have weather feelings, and thank God they finally have a way to get those feelings out to the world.
Hi, I just wanted to complain about how sunny it is at the moment. It's like autumn, and it's sunny like every single day. And all I want is like one day where it's rainy so I can just stay in bed and watch Netflix and not do anything or go outside.
Ali, I don't even recognize your voice.
Hello.
You sound so different. By the way, isn't that... I mean, as crazy as it seems, because there's so many people who would love to have sunny, warm weather every day. Isn't that a common complaint at a certain point where people are just like, give me a break?
Absolutely. And right? It's summer in Australia right now, right?
Right, exactly.
So I'm sure they're over it.
But I can't do it when it's a sunny day because I feel too guilty. So, like, I'm just complaining about the fact that it's too sunny. And, like, it would be nice to have just one rain day.
Sure.
So, like, didn't have to do anything. Like, it's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
Wait, she's a valley girl living in Australia.
It does sound like
amazing.
So she needs permission from the weather to have a day in, basically.
Yeah.
Because if it's nice out, she feels like she's going to go out and do stuff.
She gets me.
So anyway, if this will help you, you can just Google the weather vent line and get the phone number if you want to call and leave a message for yourself. But that, I don't know. Is that a thing? Is that worthwhile? Is that a thing we need? Or
no.
Is that a big fat waste of everyone's time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Phone lines are wide open, by the way. We don't usually do this so early. So we are looking for you, the early morning people, to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is where we turn over the show to you and you get a chance to call in with things that you'd like to hear us talk about on the radio. Subjects that are happening in the news or in your life that you need some counsel for. You've got comments. You've got questions about things that are going on. You've got complaints about things that are going on, except for the weather. That's what you do. You call us right now. It's toll-free, the Kevin and Bean, 1-800-520-1067. What's good? We'll take your calls next right after this on K-Rock. By the way, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not. Ali, did you get the impression what Dave told us yesterday about Blink-182 was privileged information? Or you think it's
absolutely privileged. Absolutely privileged.
Dave's saying don't mention it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Colin Hanks is going to join us in minutes and a recap of episode 9 of The People versus O.J. Simpson. That's all on the way. First, though, your phone calls bright and early on a Wednesday morning at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. Call up so we can be down. 1-800. 106.7. What's good?
What's good?
What's good, indeed. Got a full rack of calls here. We appreciate your early morning listeners so much. And we're going to start with line three. This is going to be Alex. He's in Santa Monica. Ali, I think you may have found your soulmate on the phone here. Because
excellent.
I think Alex, this is going to make a lot of sense to you. Welcome to the show, sir. What's going on? What's good?
Hey, what's good? Good morning. I'm Alex the Framer. What's good, Ali?
I was right. I found your soulmate
good,
for
Alex?
You.
I found all of you guys are the best. But look, this morning, every morning I go to work. I read that there's a hiker that fell,
right.
Another hiker that disappeared,
right.
Uh-huh.
And that we find human skulls 10
right.
years later of these hikers, and everybody invites me to go, hey, let's go hiking. I'm like, God, why would I want to go hiking?
They want to kill you, Alex. That's
exactly
why.
Right. I guess they don't like me for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, this hiking thing, I just don't know. Once I went with my uncle that he lives in Tarzana. He goes, hey, let's go hiking, but with bikes. I'm like, okay. So he has like a $5,000 bicycle, and he gave me a $100 bicycle. So when we started hiking, and the first rock I went over, I just tipped over and fell. I said, I just throw the towel. I'm no longer hiking from this. I retired from hiking for the rest of my life.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is retired from hiking for the rest of his life, and I think you're making the right choice there because you're absolutely right.
Yes.
They just found that skull up by the Hollywood sign from that woman.
I mean.
People fall off mountains. They get attacked by mountain lions. They get bitten by snakes. They get kidnapped. Everything bad happens when you go hiking. So I'm so glad you brought that to our attention,
I'm
sir.
So glad he's retired from not only hiking, but hiking with bikes.
Yes.
Excellent.
We appreciate your call so much. All right. Let's try line four, please. Go to Woodland Hills, and let's talk to our man Mike and see what's going on in his little world. Mike, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's good?
Hey, what's happening, guys? How's everything this morning?
Don't go hiking. That's what's happening.
That is correct. My wife and I actually got into our biggest fight we've ever had. At the Dave Chappelle show on Saturday night.
Oh, well, I thought laughter was supposed to bring people together.
It was. Unfortunately, Dave Chappelle had about a 5-minute rant about Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, that mm-hmm. night. And my wife thought it was not funny at all, and I thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard. In fact, all the husbands around us and boyfriends around us were also laughing hysterically. And it was as if you saw, like, you know, one of these comics where every wife and girlfriend was hitting their husband, saying how insensitive they were for laughing at this. But I thought it was the whole most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah, see, so now you're the bad guy because
right.
of your sense of humor, as if you have any control, by the way, over what you find funny.
Exactly. So we got into our biggest fight over that, and I said, "Well, we went to a comedy show for a reason to laugh."
That's right.
And obviously, that didn't really work.
You're
out.
Just going to have to agree to disagree on that particular topic, I guess.
Yeah, and maybe never go to another comedy show again.
Oh no,
Ali, you have anything to add from the woman's perspective here? I mean, I don't feel like did anything wrong, right?
No, I don't think. You find funny what you find funny. Some people find things offensive, some don't. It's comedy. It's subjective. I hope that you guys bone again sometime.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Alex in Valencia. He's on line 7. He's got an important question that we haven't even really started thinking about, but maybe mm-hmm. it's time. Alex, welcome to the show. What's good?
Am I on the air?
Yes. Yes, you are, Alex.
I just wanted to know where Kevin's funeral is going to be so I can pay my respects.
We haven't started the process. But
I have given it some thought.
Okay.
I want to know if you guys think this is a crazy idea.
Okay.
I like it. We find a Ferrell's. Do they still have Ferrell's?
Oh, absolutely. In Brea.
The Ferrell's in Brea. That's a perfect place for Kevin's. Maybe that we don't bury him there. It's not technically the funeral, but it is the memorial service.
Right.
And because they have a – I know Kevin loves the kids' menu at the Ferrell's. They got the grilled cheese. They got the mac and cheese. And what's the giant ice cream?
Oh, the pig trough.
The pig trough. A pig trough for everybody that comes out to
send Kevin. Oh, that's such a great idea.
It's
such
like,
a great idea.
What do you think, callers? That's perfect for Kevin, right?
Yeah. We'll
Alex
have big buckets of it.
Big buckets.
Big
all right.
Buckets
there you
strawberry
go.
Strawberry ice cream. I love
so
it.
So the Brea Ferrell's is where the Kevin Memorial Service will be, and we will keep you posted when that happens. Let's do one more. Thanks so much for the call. Let's talk to Farhad.
Farhad?
Is it Farhad? Caller on line 6. Is this Farhad?
Hey. How you doing, guys? It's Farhad, yes.
Farhad. Okay,
I'm
great.
I'm your largest
CCON, In the World correspondent, if you remember me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You used to live near Seguin, Texas, where the world's largest pecan is. Okay.
That's right. That's right. So I recently moved from L.A. to Chicago, and really enjoy my time. Sorry, I'm a little winded.
Are you hiking? Are you hiking right now or masturbating? What's going on here?
Or both. I mean, why not both?
Well, both. Yeah, why not both? So I was wondering if you guys would love to send Beer Mug, or should I say Johnny Chicago, over to Chicago so we can have a weekend out. I can, show him around.
What you're saying is you just moved to Chicago, and you're wondering if our friend Johnny Chicago can come and show you the city.
Oh, that's a great idea. Right. Let me grab Johnny.
Hey there, Furhead. How you doing there, Bob? Hey, how's it going? How long ago did you move out there? Did you move out there to the Chicago area?
About a year ago.
Hey, yo.
Really enjoying it. I think I can show you a great time over here,
Well, I'll show you a great time. First of all, we can go to a couple Cubbies games, maybe some Bulls games, maybe get a couple Chicago dogs. What do you feel about that?
Will that be a problem if you find out that I'm a Packers fan?
No, it's okay. Hey, Bears fans and Packers fans, they have their differences, but we can all live in harmony. You know what I'm saying?
People?
That's right.
Exactly, Ali.
People, that's all. All right. Well, listen, the only thing I'll add this far ahead, and I'm glad you called, I'm glad you're enjoying Chicago, is if we send Johnny Chicago out there, it's a one-way plane ticket only, my friend. He's your problem now.
That's a deal breaker right there.
I can move in with you right there, Farhead.
No, I don't want you around my kids.
I'm not a pedophile or anything.
All right. Thanks for calling, Farhead. This has been What's Good.
What's Good?
Bob Saget joins us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. When he's here, by the way, we're going to give away another pair of tickets to the That's My John section of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness this Saturday night at the Shrine, where you can see all the great acts performing live, including Mr. Saget himself. So that'll be coming up in the 8 a.m. hour. Allie, you're still in on the People versus O.J. Simpson?
Yeah, that's actually in the 7 a.m. hour, though.
I apologize.
That's okay.
For that.
I just don't want people tuning in at 8 and being Saget-less.
No, you're right. I didn't have I didn't have anything in front of me that was just based on my own faulty memory.
It's okay.
I sucked.
You're all right.
The People vs. O.J. Simpson is a miniseries on FX that airs Tuesday nights, and every Wednesday we are delighted to recap the previous night's episode with the man himself, Orenthal James Simpson, who unfortunately is not able to watch the show. And, Juice, that's because you don't have cable where you are now, right?
That's right. Lovelock Correctional Facility here in Nevada doesn't have basic cable for the inmate. That's like cruel and inhuman punishment, don't you think?
Well,
I should be released.
I think
some people suggest that maybe prison shouldn't feel like a country club. Like you should be sacrificing
country club
something.
Is cable. That's like water. Well, like bread. It's like something you need just to live.
Well, I happen to agree with you on this.
I'll tell you.
Let's talk about last night's episode, because I'll tell you, one of the things that's so great about this series for me, Juice, and maybe it's a fun memory for you, too, because the trial ultimately ends in your favor, but
that
I just...
It was a fun memory. You're right. I had a great time. Being incarcerated on trial for murder. Those are good times. I look back and smile. What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying you had a happy day at the end of it. That's my point.
Yeah, but the other days... Yeah. All not happy.
Not happy. Okay, well, that's...
What the hell?
I take back the question.
Sorry, OJ.
You should be. And I'm OJ, and she feels bad for me. Right. That's how bad you are, Bean. You make people feel bad for OJ Simpson.
And by the way, she's a pretty blonde lady. She shouldn't really be down with you.
I got a soft spot for blonde ladies.
Okay, well, let me get to the show from last night, because...
Soft spot, but a sharp knife.
One of the things I love about the show is it reminds me of crazy things that happened during the trial that I had forgotten about. For instance, Chris Darden, who's for the prosecution, is interviewing on the stand one of your neighbors who heard an argument that happened outside his window. And he thought one of the voices could ultimately have been yours. But Johnny Cochran is not having any of him guessing who the speaker is.
We know that the witness told a friend that he heard the angry yell of an older man who sounded black.
I resent that statement, Your Honor. You cannot tell by somebody's voice whether they are black. That is a racist statement and entirely inappropriate. Your Honor, I am offended that in America, in 1995, that we have to endure this kind of thinking.
Johnny Cochran gets offended about a lot of things during the course of the trial, doesn't he, Juice?
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he? He did a good job.
Can you, in your opinion, can you tell a lot of times that somebody speaking is an African-American person, or is that still not a valid statement?
You're a racist. You're
no,
a
just,
racist person.
I'm asking.
And I think I should be let out.
You always think you should be let out.
Because of cable and your racism.
Last week when we talked to you, you brought up that you can't see the show, but every time we play audio from the show where John Travolta is on the screen,
yeah,
you think it sounds terrible.
Well, you know why I think that? Because what? It sounds terrible.
Well, he's playing Robert Shapiro, and I want you to know I looked real hard on last night's episode, Juice, because I want to try to win you around. Don't tell me that John Travolta is just there to chew up the scenery when you hear this. Now, they're in the elevator, and they have just been told that another judge is going to decide whether Judge Ito can stay on the case or not. And listen to Bob Shapiro's reaction.
I've got to wait for this judge to get a comprehensive understanding. How long? Things cannot be left to whim.
Cochran, you have to trust the system.
We need to turn up the pressure.
Pressure? You want to turn up the pressure? This city is about to explode. We have enough pressure.
See, that's some good acting,
oh,
right, Juice?
My Lord.
Oh, Juice, I'm with you.
That's some Battlefield Earth level Travolta right there.
Yes.
What? Why you people have cable? You can make other choices. Why are you watching this?
I hate to say it, but I think you might be a better actor than John Travolta at this point, OJ.
I am. Naked Gun movies.
Naked Gun movies. All right, Marcia Clark, who of course is the lead prosecutor in the trial, is just incensed that Judge Ito might allow the Mark Furman tapes that were so damaging to his credibility into the courtroom. In fact, she almost threatens to throw down with Judge Ito, but she's even threatened with contempt of court. Listen to this.
Mr. Darden is simply responding to the unfair events that have occurred in this courtroom today and other days. The court has been exploited by counsel for cross purposes.
Ms. Clark, I think perhaps you need to take 10 deep breaths. For you also are about to be held in contempt.
Shall I take off my watch and jewelry?
Wow. Did it seem to you like at some point people were going to start fighting in the courtroom during the trial, Juice?
I think that's a reference to her going into a cell.
Well, I thought that was possible too, but then I also thought, based on the look on her face, that she was gonna fight the judge.
I think you got a weird sexual fantasy.
Yeah,
about that,
it was definitely about taking off your belongings so you could be incarcerated.
Right, I don't think she's going to start fighting with a judge.
She wasn't taking off her heels and her hoops. She was going to prison.
It's not like oil wrestling or something.
Really? Because that's what I was envisioning.
You should be in here. I really should be released.
So you think you should be released, Juice? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, because you're a weird man.
All right.
You should be probably behind bars.
So Johnny Cochran, in our final clip, Juice, Johnny Cochran just destroys police officer Mark Furman on the stand. And OJ is so happy. You're back at the jail now. You're taking off your suit that you wear to court every day, and you're putting back on your orange jumpsuit in the jail. And you are so happy because you realize that you're going to win this thing thanks to Mr. Cochran, and it's only a matter of time before you get out. Here's Cuba Gooding Jr. as you.
Johnny is a genius. Did you see what happened in there? Oh, man. Furman framed me. He framed me. And that was something, huh?
Yeah, it was a real success for the defense.
Well, I won't be wearing these much longer. Oh, man. That was magical. Johnny's got charisma, man. Ooh. Oh, that was something. Oh.
That was a happy day right there for you, Juice.
That was a pretty good time. Yeah, I wish Kardashian had cheered up a little bit.
Yeah, the problem was, and again, you haven't seen the show, is that he realized a few days into the trial that you were guilty as hell, mm-hmm. and yet you're his best friend, so he didn't know how to abandon you, even though he knew you were a cold-blooded killer.
If I remember correctly, he was also very sad because at the time he was married to Kris Jenner.
Well, that's actually true.
That'll break a man's spirit right there.
So, Juice, it's so great catching up with you, but we just have one more conversation after the finale next Wednesday morning. We'll be talking to you again, all right?
Unless I get out.
Well, I hope that's not true, but thanks for joining us.
I think they should let me out.
I know you do. All right, OJ. Bye-bye.
All right, see you when I'm out.
Love the Weezer so much. So great to see them in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock a few days ago. And, of course, their new album coming out any day now. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi.
I'm going to talk to our old friend Colin Hanks coming up just after 7.
I love him.
It's a mistake. It's a mistake.
That's Colin Hay. That's Colin Hay. I made the same mistake myself, but this I was told it's Colin Hay. No, the very popular movie and television actor, Colin. Hello.
What?
Ralph Colin Hanks. Hanks, the actor, is who we're talking to. Not the Men at Work guy. That's coming up. Also, Bob Saget next hour. Ralph is here now. It's time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's
Damn,
going on?
Daniel.
Give you a heads up. Friday night, 10 p.m., improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I take the stage once again for Hollywood Babylon.
No.
If you've never been, if you've never heard our wildly successful podcast, first of all, shame on you. Shame. Shame upon you and your family. But secondly, if you're not familiar, just imagine the Showbiz Beat with me drunker than usual, saying whatever I want to with no censorship whatsoever. I know. Sounds like a bad idea, but it really turns out pretty well overall. So come on out and check us out Friday at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
So wait, hang on. I don't care at all.
Oh, well, it's not for everyone, I suppose. Like that guy. But he sounds like a dick, right? I think she was going to fight Judge Ito.
What? What
happened? I felt bad for OJ, man. He's
right? I'm saying.
First of all, he's in jail, and then he's got to talk.
Yes.
Hear that. Then he's got to talk to that guy and have that conversation.
Once a week for 5 minutes, he can stand a phone call with the Kevin and
Bean.
He'd
rather
show.
Be in the hole, I think, than to be on the phone with Kevin and
OJ
Bean.
Brought up a good point. To feel bad for him,
right?
You've really got to work with someone who's
Bean has
awful.
Some power. He's got some moves.
I can hear you. I can hear you guys. I'm right here. I'm still here.
Hey, Bean.
You know, it's sad news. If you like the club music, if you like the electronica, if you like the EDM, as it's known, Avicii announced retirement from touring. He will no longer be touring. Swedish DJ and producer who, of course, had the biggest smash hit, I guess, with his 2011 single, Levels.
Did his iPod break? Why is he?
Oh, snap!
Why is he giving it up?
He's going to retire from touring.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
Great question. I don't know what Diplo thinks.
Great question.
He said he will never let go of his music. He will continue to speak to his fans through it. But I've decided that this 2016 run will be my last tour and last shows.
What is going through the mind of Ronda Rousey right now?
I'm not sure.
Why would she care?
So we will get more of each music. You just won't be able to see him live anymore, which is just sad because I always loved him when he was up there and he just would stand there with headphones on and there'd be lights behind him.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Sometimes, like, he'd put his hands up.
Right? Remember
and,
that?
Like, you'd put your hands up too and, oh, the connection.
Did you have to wave them in the air like you didn't care?
Sometimes.
I wouldn't. I'd wave them in the air and I would care deeply.
Yeah. Yeah.
Avicii had this to say about his retirement. Hey, I'm not going to be no more on the road. I'm going to make some good music, but it's going to be only for your ears and no more for your eyes. I'm Avicii. Hey, who wants a nice pizza pie? I'm making a nice topping for you. I got a pepperoni. I got a sausage. I got anything you want to make, Avicii. I'm Avicii. I'm making a good pizza.
Again, Swedish, though, not Italian at all.
Avicii. So. A name like Avicii.
Well, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Charbroiled.
That's right. It's charbroiled indeed. This movie, Civil War, I mean, come on, right?
This is the Avengers.
Yes, Captain America, Civil War.
Oh, the period piece.
No, Ellie, once again, it does not actually take place during the Civil War.
It's too bad.
It is a civil war between superhero factions. The Avengers are split in half. Who are you with? Team Iron Man, Team Cap?
Who has a better musket?
No muskets.
No?
I
feel like the North is going to beat the South again this time.
Again.
Anyway, this is all happening May 6th through the 22nd. The El Capitan Theater in Hollywood is doing a marathon of all of the Marvel movies leading up to this. Special engagement of Captain America Civil War, of course, but then you get the Ultimate Captain America Marathon starting Thursday, May 5th. You start with Captain America First Avenger at 7 a.m., then the Avengers, then Captain America Winter Soldier, then Avengers Age of Ultron, and then it culminates with the screening of Captain America Civil War that evening on the 7th. It just couldn't be more exciting. So
that's a beautiful theater. Haven't been there, it is stunning.
It is the Disney-owned and operated theater where they debut a lot of their big smash hit stuff. But it's
huge
just
organ that they play that, with music that comes out.
I bet it does.
the musical instrument.
What kind of element that maybe the audience won't expect will happen in the movie? Can you give that away?
So you can go to elcapitantickets.com for more information on this.
Is there anything I could expect out of the ordinary? I'm sure there is, but maybe like you can hint to something. I can't wait till Friday.
That's a lot of words.
How much was cut out of the movie? Or was everything kept in?
Everything we shot was kept in.
Every foot of film is used in the movie.
400-hour film. What a dope. I'm out of time, and this is killing me, because here's the thing. You know what we mocked, and I pshawed, and I poo-pooed, and I scoffed?
You did all of those things.
About James Corden having the carpool karaoke special on CBS last night. Did you catch any of him and Jennifer Lopez in the car together?
No.
I can only imagine it's magic.
Freaking magic.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, we hear so much about Jennifer Lopez. Oh, you can't look her in the eyes, and she needs to have an all-white dressing room made of clubbed fur seals or something. I don't know. She's got all these rider issues and stuff.
She
sounds awful.
Block.
But when you listen to her and you watch her, it's incomprehensible that she's anything but just wonderful and charming.
Yeah.
So she's a better actress than we thought.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
She's pretending to be that sweet, nice, fun
you
lady.
You son of a bitch. Anyway, we don't have time here, but in the next hour I'm going to play a little clip from James Corden's carpool karaoke with Jennifer Lopez, and you too will fall deeper in love with Jennifer Lopez than you ever thought possible.
Like Made in Manhattan love? Because that was a great movie. So good. She was the maid, and then she tried on clothes that didn't belong to her.
Please.
This rich lady, and then that politician fell in love with her.
Do yourself no favors, madam. Celebrity birthdays, Warren Beatty, Eric Clapton, MC Hammer, Ian Ziering, Piers Morgan, Celine Dion, and Nora Jones, all celebrating a special day today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Guy makes a lot of good sense right there. Welcome into a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. So much show still to come, including our friend Bob Saget, who will be in here in minutes, talking about this weekend's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show. We got musician Lucas Graham on the program later on today. He's the 7 years guy. And actor Coleman Domingo from Fear the Walking Dead. That's all on the way. Ali, you're watching The Life in Pieces. I love this show.
I wasn't prepared for the theme.
Let me show you how magic I am. I just say the words and the theme automatically appears. Hey, Ali, you watching that Life in Pieces? It's so good on CBS.
Wow.
It is the end of season one tonight. Excuse me, tomorrow night with two big episodes at 8:30 and 9 o'clock on CBS. And our friend, one of the stars of the show, Colin Hanks, joins us back on the show. Hey, Colin, how are you, man?
Not good. How's it going, guys?
Going great. I apologize. Kevin's not here today. He is out, but he sends his love.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I know.
No.
I'm hanging up.
Colin, stay with us.
I don't blame you.
Stay with us.
I love Life in Pieces so much. It's so rare for a traditional, old-fashioned, funny sitcom to break through on my DVR and be a show that I regularly tune in for every week. But this has been such a great season. You have such a great cast, and it looks like so much fun to work on that show, Colin.
Wow, thank you so much. We have a ridiculous amount of fun, and I think it actually kind of like comes through your television. We laugh, we have a good time, and I think it's a really fun, original show that I think we've been able to do something really special this year, and people have definitely been responding in kind.
I am so hot for the actress that plays your wife, and I don't mean that in a creepy way. I just mean she's so...
How else could you mean it?
Because she's just adorable and lovely and funny and pretty. She's all those things. Please tell me she's nice in real life, Colin.
Zoe Lister-Jones is an absolute dream. She is one of the funniest people I know, and we have so much fun hanging out together and working together. I mean, the way that the show is sort of structured, a majority of my scenes are with her, and so I'm one of the luckiest guys in television as far as I'm concerned, because I get to spend all this time with her cracking jokes and laughing.
Yeah, you got a double life that's awesome, because you have a hot real life wife at home, and then you go to work and you got a hot at work wife too. So I mean, it's a win-win.
Listen, when they say wearing makeup as a profession is kind of weird, I say it's kind of awesome.
Now, let's talk business for a second. Have you been renewed for season two?
Not officially, no. Not yet. We're still awaiting word.
And how are you feeling about it, Colin? What are your inside sources telling you? Your spidey, tingly sense.
I'm walking around with a log of wood so that I may knock wood or touch it whenever necessary.
But I thought you were going.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling all right. We have such a good time that we just don't want to stop. But look, I mean, it's sort of out of my control, so I just am going to go assume that we're going to get to go do this show for the next 8 years.
I follow you on Instagram, so I get to see all the pictures of you and the cast. You guys seem obviously like you get along so well, but something I saw on Instagram made me just go, oh my God. You were in Paris with your friends from Eagles of Death Metal for their triumphant return to the stage.
Yes.
What was
there.
That like?
It was incredible. It was absolutely one of the most heartwarming, incredible things. I mean, it was incredibly emotional. It was incredibly everything. It was really a very special evening, and I was incredibly honored to be there. Obviously, more than anything else, it was really something special.
Yeah.
As a lifelong hardcore rock junkie, rock music junkie, like I was, Colin, a guy who grew up rushing down to the store every week to buy 45s. You know, we talked to you about your Tower Records documentary a few months ago. Have you found being in show business, you've been able to get to some of your favorite acts and become friends with and hang out with and live the rock and roll dreams?
Well, I don't know about living the rock and roll dreams, but I mean, I've definitely been able to, you know, to meet some people and to hang out with some people. Some people are a whole lot cooler than others. But, you know, ultimately, you know, music is definitely something that defined me growing up. And I find that that doesn't change the older that you get. And so the ability to be able to go to concerts and then maybe by chance, you know, meet the people that that you listen to that are a part of your life, your daily life, that's a pretty rad thing. That's the one case where I have no problem sort of taking as much advantage as I possibly can.
Sure. I guarantee if I went to Colin Hanks' house, there's a photo in his house on a wall somewhere of him with Bruce Springsteen. I guarantee
that.
He
was just at the show, Instagram stalker.
Maybe not a photo of me with Bruce, but there's definitely an autographed set list from the Apollo Theater show. Yeah,
nice. Wow. Sweet.
That most definitely is there for sure.
That's a great item. What was the greatest rock and roll moment you ever had in terms of, I can't believe I'm a fly on the wall while I'm watching fill in the blank, the Stones rehearse or whatever it was you got to see that blew your mind?
Well, there are definitely a few. Getting a chance to see Bruce rehearse for the 9/11 telecast was definitely one of those moments that was pretty special. And then seeing the Eagles of Death Metal play in Paris is another one as well. You know, it's one of those things where obviously both of those were very important shows that were more than shows. And so those obviously definitely stick out. But then there's also the shows that that I remember going to where it was no one else knew what was going on in my life, but I was having an emotional moment. You know, there are tons of those, as well as, you know, the simple ones like the first concert you went to or, you know, anything. It's just, for me, I just like going to as many shows as possible. And I'm never really one to play the favorites game.
No, I get it. Cause they're all special in their own way. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
That.
And then there's the bad ones too. There's the bad ones where, you know, you invite the person to come with you and they get too drunk and then you have to leave early and you're like, all right, well, I guess this is memorable for all of the wrong reasons.
This is the voice of our friend Colin Hanks here at the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about, among other things, Life in Pieces, season finale tomorrow night, 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Two big episodes of the season finale of Life in Pieces. By the way, Colin, this is going to I don't know if it's going to make you feel old or not, but Bob Saget is coming in here right after you. And he just told us that he's known you since you were a little kid. He used to be the warm-up comic for your dad's show, Bosom Buddies.
That is absolutely 100% accurate. I've known Bob Saget for a very, very, very long time.
And he's in real life a dick, right?
Yes, he is. He is. Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to make sure we all are on the same page there.
One of the best, worst human being around.
That is such a great description of Saget. One of the
and
best
I mean
worst
that
humans.
With nothing but love.
Absolutely.
All right. In our remaining moment here, Colin, you know it's this time of year and you're on. We have to ask, how are you feeling? Obviously, it's always a relief when you know clinch that playoff spot, but how are you feeling as we wind down this hockey season?
Well, here we go. The Los Angeles Kings are in the playoffs, so that is a great first step. Obviously, much better than last year. The boys have a chip on their shoulder, which is the best way for the boys to be playing. Look, I think it's going to be a very, very fun playoffs this year. If the playoffs started today, you're looking at all California and maybe Nashville. So that's going to be a very, very fun playoffs in the Pacific Division. I think it's going to be great. I think the Kings are playing great. I mean, that save that Quickie made the other night in San Jose off the stick, I mean, that was just incredible. So,
almost made up for losing the game.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't like losing to the Sharks. But, you know, but I will say that obviously a lot of things need to happen. But if you look at sort of the past few years, we're sort of playing a little bit by our playbook. A lot of really interesting pickups here before the trade deadline. We got some new additions that have obviously adapted quite well. We got Scuds back, which I think is a big thing because that guy brings a lot of heart and obviously fills a lot of gaps that we have with some of our key players out. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I think it's going to be a fun playoff. And by that, I mean I'm probably going to lose 15 pounds and become a gigantic stress ball. So that's what you want out of playoff hockey.
Did the Blackhawks get any worse this season?
Well, I mean, they definitely played a lot worse this season, but I definitely don't count them out. You know,
it's the Kings' turn, though, right? I mean, that's how it works.
It could turn. I mean, you can definitely tell that they're frustrated, you know, just Duncan Keith last night getting a little loose with his stick again, getting it up into people's faces. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on there, but I never count them out. I respect the Blackhawks so much. They are a scary team. So just because they've had a little bit of an off year doesn't mean that they're not going to be able to get things going when they need to. So
yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a really fun playoff.
All right, well, you got a big choice tomorrow night, Kevin and Bean listeners, because the Kings are playing the Flames tomorrow night, but at the same time of two episodes of the Season Finale of Life in Pieces on CBS. So you got a choice to make there.
Yeah. Are the Flames playing with the black in their uniforms?
Oh, I don't know the answer.
Then it's not really the Calgary Flames, in my opinion. So that's an easy one for me.
Colin, we love you, man. Thanks for jumping on. Great to talk to you again.
Guys, talking to you guys. Take care.
See you. Bye. Hey, Bob Saget.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Don't come in here talking about Diet Mountain Dew when Diet Dr. Pepper still exists.
I do love Diet Dr. Pepper.
Diet Dr. Pepper is the best.
When I have a long... No sodas are supposed to be good for us, right? It hurts
us.
That's
true. That's true.
However, when I have a long drive for some reason, I don't know if Diet Dr. Pepper has caffeine in it, but I feel like it does.
Absolutely does.
And it does taste like you're not drinking some diet soda. So I think I should be a spokesperson at this point.
Well, you're going to have to fight me for that.
Well, we want a case of it at least free out of that. Remember those days you could mention something on radio and a refrigerator would be in your home?
I actually mentioned Diet Dr. Pepper on the air and I got about 40 cases.
Are you
Diet
serious?
Oh, yeah. I think we still have a couple in the office.
I love Diet Dr. Pepper a lot, too.
Well, let me just say this. Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper. I like Diet Dr. Pepper because I'm thin.
Now, Bob, I'm glad you're here. It's always, of course, always a pleasure to see you. And we'll talk about foolishness in a minute because you're kind enough to be donating your time Saturday night at the Shrine. We're very excited to see you.
Well, I'm very excited you're doing it, and it's one of the favorite things that
you guys do. It's a great night.
It's for a great cause.
But I want to talk about a couple of other things first, not the least of which is I am so jealous. When I saw that tape a couple of weeks ago, and I love looking at Bob's face as I say those words because he doesn't know which tape. And with Bob Saget, who knows what the tape could be?
Was it the back of my head?
The tape that I saw of you on stage in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Singing with Carly Rae Jepsen, who I love so much.
Is that facetious?
No, he loves her.
I think she's adorable.
And she's so talented.
She is. She is not just that
huge star.
She is not a Call Me Maybe one hit wonder.
No,
she
not at all.
She's the real deal. She loves what she does. She's working hard. Her new album's pretty good.
It's great.
And
the new emotion is great.
She does the theme to Fuller House.
She does. She sings that, and she loves Diet Dr. Pepper.
Does she?
Yeah, because she's proud.
So you were in. So you were in Milwaukee,
yes,
doing your stand-up, and
I was.
She was in Milwaukee doing a concert, and somehow you kids got together and you ended up on stage.
Yeah, there were two theaters not far from each other, owned by the same people, and I wound up, which means there probably some kind of illegal activities going on. I don't know. I'm kidding.
But let's say synergy.
Synergy is what it
there
is.
There you go.
I'll just agree with everything. Let's improv morning. And I went, I asked our tour manager, would she want me to come out and would she want to sing the things, the theme from Fuller House, which, by the way, you know, I know how to, I can sing a little bit. I do it. I'll be doing it on Saturday at your show. Mm-hmm. God help everyone. But she's like four octaves higher than me because she's young and she's a lady. And I'm.
And this she's is, a singer.
Correct. And I'm a gravelly voiced Dr. Pepper drinker. And
but your singing is better than her stand-up comedy, I bet.
I don't know. She's pretty funny.
Okay. All right.
So I don't really know that.
You don't win that one either then. All
no,
right.
Not, that's a lose-lose for me. But I walked
but
out
you were in Grease Live as Frenchie.
Yeah, I was.
Oh,
I was.
You know what? I think that was actually also her.
I was actually an understudy for Frenchie. I was in the back trying to just Frenchie the chorus girls. But she had me come out on stage, and I walked out, and we never met. And it was absolutely adorable. And you can't hear anything over the videos. There's many that were taken. It's so funny. Rolling Stone can use as a source anybody's iPhone.
Right.
And the thing is just people screaming, I love you, Bob. And there's 16, so I'm thinking of calling the police myself. Because it wasn't just I love you like a dad. So it was kind of creepy.
Well, but, you've kept your looks, though, Bob. I think that's
you. Thank you. I'm no John Stamos. But,
well,
you know.
No one is.
No. No, he's not even him anymore. He's a robot, actually.
Did he get – did really? Did I see something this week that he's getting some sort of major television award?
He
like
is.
He's Icon Award or something?
He's getting something. It'll get cleared up with an antibiotic. But he is getting the TV Land Icon Award, and it's hosted by George Lopez. And Norman Lear is also receiving this great honor.
Wow.
And John Stamos is getting it as being an icon of television. And,
he is certainly an icon of television.
He is. He did – before I met him, he had been on General Hospital for years. He'd been on a show called Dreams and Jack Klugman, You Again. And then he did so – he's done so much for so many years, and he's a good woman.
How – what kind of reaction have you gotten from fans? You're very good about talking to your fans, and you get approached a lot. But
I love them.
Since Fuller House hit Netflix, do people come up to you and talk to you a lot about it? And if so, what kinds of comments do you hear about the show?
The younger people are saying, all my dreams have come true. So I kind of think they don't even think they need a future. They just think that it's glad there's a reboot of a show that they grew up with.
Well, we have limited expectations these days. We're not expecting to go to Mars anymore.
No.
We just want to see more Full House episodes. I think as a country, I think we've set the bar very low for what we want to accomplish.
Just an In-N-Out burger will make their month, you know?
Right.
Dr. Pepper. It's really been quite wonderful because people love the tone of the show, and the producers, Jeff Franklin, Bob Boyette, and John at the helm also partially, have made it have the same tone and the same themes. And I did one episode where I end up with a – I'm doing a spoiler alert, but I end up with a – the couch gets destroyed, and the fabric on the couch is ruined by the dog, and I'm upset because these are very, very deep episodes. These themes go – dark. And
you are practically the Carmichael show at this point.
So I come home and then I see the couch is I'm very upset that it's not gonna be the right fabric, and she takes off the sheet and it's the same. They had it redone in the same fabric. Not only that, but they made it the extra fabric, they made a blazer for me. So I've got
a nice looking suit.
I have a couch blazer and a sofa blazer. And I call myself a couch chameleon. You do your alliteration.
That's fantastic.
In your sitcom. And I have it. I have it at home. And it is made of the material of the couch of Fuller House.
Will you wear it Saturday?
I will not, but
come on.
Okay, I will.
Okay,
I'll come out and I'll change quickly.
I like it.
Or maybe I'll leave in it.
Bob, I have to ask, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here, but I have to ask, when the show hit Netflix, what's it been? A couple months now?
February 26th is when it started.
The number one trending topic was, oh my God, how hot did Jodie Sweetin grow up to be? And
look at
her and look at those. I mean, there was a lot of that.
All right, Bean. You could have just said
when
hot.
When he
it's
says
true.
Those, he means Candace and Andrea.
That's So that's exactly what
is
I mean.
DJ and Kim Gibbler, yeah.
Okay.
And well, I just tell me about that. I mean, is that –
Well, she's always been a good dancer, and mm-hmm. she always worked out.
Uh-huh.
And
paid off.
Yeah. Yes. And she's actually kicking it on Dancing with the Stars, which I normally would not watch, but I vote like 30 times. I go to payphones. I do anything I can to vote for her. The 800 number.
Aww,
well, I love her. I mean, she's,
you guys really do. You guys really do treat these actors as it's a second family.
I mean, know something's wrong with us all. We really. But you know, it's 8 years. They were kids, and the fact that we stayed friends when they're adults. Is to me really super cool because I always thought that, you know, Gary Coleman and Conrad Bain from Different Strokes did not stay buddies.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Well, unfortunately, Gary's gone, and so is Conrad. So maybe they're together somewhere.
Yeah, maybe they're friends again. Yeah,
maybe they're pals playing poker. But
up in heaven with Abraham the fish.
Abraham the fish?
Yeah, that was a weird pull.
What was that? Was that from that,
that
show,
was
Different
from,
Strokes?
Yeah, it was this black fish. And
oh, why the fish got to be black, Allie?
It's a good point. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm staying away from this area.
It's probably good.
I think we all should.
But to answer your question, she is very attractive.
She's lovely.
I'm guest. You know, us legacy cast, John and Dave and Lori mm-hmm. and myself, we guest on the show. Really, it's the girls' show, mm-hmm. girls', which is real good English because Mark Twain is my idol, and the little boys on the show that are one day going to be really older men, and then the show will be gone, and then it'll come back with them. And I'll come in as an urn, but it'll be fullest house. Or
but by then they'll have the hologram thing figured out, and your ghost will appear, and it'll be like you're still on the show.
It'll be so Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's going to be
well.
Great.
I'm
but
saying
all I was going to say was that if I was in the show all the time, I'd probably just keep covering her up with sweaters and don't you go out of the house looking like that, honey?
Yeah.
Or the show should be in 3D. You know.
Yeah, the dad instincts would definitely kick in at some point. I guess. All right. Well, listen, we got to take a break. Bob Saget is here. And as you mentioned, you're joining us Saturday night for Kevin Bean's April Fool's Just 2016 at the Shrine. And
looking forward to it.
I think it's going to be your second time on the bill, if I
It is.
Say.
It
and,
is.
And we're so excited to have you. So Mutual. We thought this might be fun, Bob, since we have a pair of tickets to give away up close in the That's My John section. This is the closest seats to the stage, and you get the backstage party with the cat, you know, with the crew, and you get the parking and the T-shirt and the whole thing. We thought it might be funny, since you're a professional comedian,
yes,
to have our listeners call in and try to make – you laugh.
Fascinating.
And then you can help us pick someone who deserves the tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Are you down with that?
I'm so down.
All right. Are you a guy who likes jokes? And the reason I ask is because your style of stand-up is really more conversational. It's really more stories.
It is, and it's riffing, but I do like jokes.
You're okay with jokes?
I was raised on jokes by my dad.
Okay.
And my mom raised me on just oatmeal.
So if you think you can make professional comedian Bob Saget laugh, we want to hear your best joke. The winner wins tickets to join us to see Bob this Saturday night at the Shrine. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll take your calls next right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Bob Saget in studio with us right now. He's going to be on the bill this Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium.
With a lot of good comedians, too. Like
it's Eddie Eft is going to be there. Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, the wonderful Eliza Schlesinger, and her little dog Blanche, our friend Jay Moore, and the comedy musical stylings of Wheeler Walker Jr. So it's going to be a fun night. Bob, how long have you been doing stand-up now?
Since I was 17, so that would be like, I don't know, almost 40 years.
Are you good at it yet?
No. I'm getting better. I'm working on a new hour, and I've been on tour because I want to do a new hour special because it's different than it was. And I'll do some of it as long as I don't YouTube it.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'll make the announcement. No recording of any kind.
I asked that question. You're welcome to do a courtroom artist rendering.
Exactly.
I asked that question because a lot of comedians, you know, even the guys, the best guys who ever have done it, they always say there's no such thing as a perfect set. And you can always come off stage and go, oh, man, if I just switch those two words around or put a little more pause in there. I mean, you never get it just right.
Or had a different attitude. I've had a couple that were so good I couldn't believe it. I was in this is unbelievable. Jacksonville, Florida last week. And I did an hour and 45 minutes, which I haven't done in a while. And because I'm working on a lot of new stuff. And mm-hmm. I thought it was like one of my most fun sets I ever had. But then it's just like, you know, but Laurence Olivier used to say that they would say, that's the best performance. I can't believe what I just saw. And he was all depressed because he goes, I don't know how I did it. Oh, I don't know, because you don't know.
You can't bottle it, yeah.
You can't, it's magic, you know. You'll do a show, I'm sure, and you'll go, man, that was the best show this morning. That was unbelievable.
No.
Oh, crap, we got to come back tomorrow.
Well, we do have that second part a lot, the oh, crap, I got to come back tomorrow. Do you still get a crazy high from performing, or have you spent so many hours on stage that it's just another day at work?
It is. It's a pleasant adrenaline now, and I look forward to it more this year than I have in a long time, and I think it's because I was on Broadway over November, December, a little bit of January.
Bragger.
And I think that yeah, right? And then it just kind of changed me. And the book that I wrote had me thinking Bragger. And writing in a different way. New York Times bestselling book. And it just kind of made me want to slow down more. And I used to always be running from the law while I was on stage, you know, and talk like I just did, you know, during the moment of silence, because I'm enjoying silence sometimes.
I feel like you're all grown up.
Yeah.
I'm going to be
60. You're mature, Bob Sick. No, you're not going to be 60.
I am going to be 60. My lower parts are 35, but
oh.
I'm
oh,
going to. Yeah, they're great. They have they look like a young nanny goat, but but I had turned 60 in May, and I don't feel it, you know. And now I'm on a workout thing because I had put on a couple pounds over Broadway.
You look fantastic, Bob.
I
don't just say that because I hope to make out with you Saturday night. I'm telling you, you look great.
Well, that hope's turning into a yes.
All right. Let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. We have a pair of tickets right now in the That's My John section to join us at the Shrine this Saturday night. It's time to make Bob laugh.
Can you make Bob laugh?
All right. 1-800-520-1067.
I want to know who wrote that.
I don't think
Omar. I want to be friends with them.
Omar did not put a lot of time into that one. Why don't we start with line two? This is going to be Ryan in L.A. We'll just go through real fast. We don't have a lot of time for chit-chat. Let's just hear the joke and get out, and then Bob will help us decide who gets the tickets. Ryan, you're up first, though. What's your joke to make Bob laugh?
Hello? Me?
Yes, go ahead, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
So a mushroom walks into a bar and sits down and orders a drink. The bartender goes, "I'm sorry, we don't serve your kind around here." The mushroom goes, "Come on, I'm a fun guy."
That's very cute. Very cute. It sounds like a killer in second grade.
All right.
I like it.
Hang on, Ryan. You are still in the running to be America's Next Top Model. I'm sorry. No, to win tickets to April Foolishness on Saturday. I got the wrong competition.
Verse exchange.
Let's try Steve in Azusa. He's up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Steve, can you make Bob laugh?
I will. Can you make Bob laugh?
That's Let's why hear your that joke. Song is so short.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right, here we go. What is the space between Kim Kardashian's breasts and butt called?
I don't know.
Silicon Valley.
Ooh, see what you did there?
I wrote something like that down once. It's very, very smart. It's really good, and thank you. We'll
I
listen
love the
to the next. Yeah, they're short. Everything's supposed to be short.
Thank you, Steve. You hang on. Let's try line five. This is going to be Michael. He is in Hacienda Heights. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead. Make Bob laugh.
All right, Bob, how did the butcher introduce his wife?
I don't know how.
Meet Patty.
I'm a fan of that one, Mike.
All right, very funny. Thank you very much for the call. Good. Line seven is up next. We go to Huntington Beach. This is going to be our man, Robert. Robert, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay, hi, Bob.
Hey, Robert.
What did the blonde customer say after reading the buxom waitress's name tag?
This can't
what did
be
he
that.
Name the other one?
Go ahead. Say
what
it again.
The other one.
I cut you off twice. Go ahead, Robert.
Robert needs some of that. Some of that timing that you were talking about. That breathing.
What did the blonde customer say to who?
What did the blonde customer say after reading the buxom waitress's name tag?
What?
What did you name the other one?
Okay, was that worth it, guys? I don't know that
it was. It was because it meant one of her breasts was named and the other
and
was
the other
not.
One, that's what we're going
Thanks,
for.
Bob.
Okay. All right, let's do one more. Let's make it line eight. This is Pomona and David. Can you make Bob laugh?
Can you make Bob laugh?
All right, David, last shot. What do you got?
All right, so what do you call a bunch of midgets at a party?
So politically correct. I don't know what.
It's just a little get-together.
That's cute. That's very, very cute.
And by the way, excellent understated delivery, too. I have to give it up for David.
I really.
All right, Bob, let's see. Do you have a favorite? We had a little get-together there with David and Pomona. Of course, the blonde customer with the Bucks and Rangers was Robert in Huntington Beach. Michael in Hacienda Heights with the meat patty. We had Steve in Azusa with the Silicon Valley. And then a little fun guy was Ryan in Los Angeles. Who do you like of this batch?
Well, I hope I don't offend anybody, but my dad was in the meat business for many years, so I am really feeling strong about meat patty.
Ladies and gentlemen, line five, our friend Michael from Hacienda Heights. Mike, congratulations. We will see you up close at the Shrine Saturday night in the That's My John section. How's that sound?
Woohoo! I'm happy.
Happy to see you, Michael. I hope not to see you at the show. No, I'll be all happy to touch your hand and bring patty.
Mike, you hang on. Hang on. We'll give you all the information. Bob, we'll see you Saturday night. You said you're bringing your guitar?
Yeah, or someone's getting me one. But, yeah, I'm going to do a – I did that last time I did you guys. And there's a song that's relevant, so I think I kind of have to play it once more. But
thank you in advance. And I know we'll shower you with the love that you require on Saturday night. But I just want to say, ahead of the weekend, thank you so much for doing it. You and all the other great comedians that donate your time. Because let's face it, you could be making a ton of money anywhere in this country on a Saturday night, but you're giving it up to come work with us, and we really appreciate
it. Or I could be out, you know, looking for a date, but that I think this is more important to help the two places you're doing. You're helping postnatal care of wonderful babies.
Cedar Sinai NICU.
That's right.
Right, and the Fisher House, which
great charities.
So these are great things you're doing, and so all the money goes to that. And
all right, my friend.
And me. You're paying me a huge amount of money.
You misunderstood that, but I'll give you a hearty handshake. I'll see you on Saturday night. Thanks for coming in, Bob.
And a Diet Dr. Pepper. Thank you.
Lucas Graham, all the way from, I want to say, Denmark, is going to be joining us next hour.
A lot of research.
If you don't know where someone's from, here's an idea. Yep. Don't go there at all. I wouldn't have to give his locale.
I am comfortable now saying yes, he is from Denmark, and he'll be joining us in studio coming up next
week. We should have Johnny Denmark come in here and do his
Danish
accent so we can make him feel right at home.
I do know at one point he was indeed 7 years old. That I can say.
And definitely. He wrote a song about it, so that's what we'll be discussing with Lucas coming up next hour. Also, Coleman Domingo from Fear the Walking Dead, still to come on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Silence is deafening.
In your head?
This morning, Bean and Allie had an extended conversation about their kidnap questions, which apparently is a thing with them where they have a set of questions to ask friends and loved ones in case of a kidnapping.
It should be a thing with all couples, by the way, and all family members to make sure that your person is still alive and on the other end of that phone.
How
and
many
it's not somebody just impersonating
kidnappings
them.
Have you encountered in your life?
None.
Right.
But if it happens.
Because we're vigilant and have
you're
a
not
plan.
Vigilant?
Yes.
And your dumb questions are dumb.
Wow.
This email comes from listener Edwin, who is my favorite person in the world.
You want to have something.
Am I reading now?
Okay, sorry.
Of course, Allie has kidnap questions. She thinks every hike ends in murder and polite emails are just a prelude to abduction. The question is, how often does she call friends to see if they've been kidnapped? That should be a call-in topic. Do you have kidnap questions or plans for the zombie apocalypse? Do you still believe Y2K is around the corner? P.S. Who would kidnap Bean? Which I think is the most important point. If you're going to take anyone, do you want to be in a warehouse with Bean talking to you, tied to a chair? No, you don't want to be that guy.
Look, I have fear that my wife would be kidnapped because I have money.
So you mean stage her own kidnapping?
That's also possible. So I just want to make sure she's really, who's responding to those texts as advertised. That's why you have to have a question that only she would know the answer to. It just makes good sense. Look, what's the harm if I never use it, Ralph? What's the harm in having it in my back pocket in case I do?
How many do you have?
We have about 30 kidnap
questions. 30 kidnap questions. Yeah. That is time not well spent, is my point.
Well, if it happens, then I'm going to get the last laugh, and you'll owe me an apology. If my wife is kidnapped and I'm able to use a kidnap question, will you admit that we were right to have kidnap questions?
Yes, I will absolutely do that. Okay. On the day that happens, after the kidnapping, when you need your kidnapping questions, I will write you a formal apology.
All right, that's all I'm asking.
Madness. Friday night, improv. Kevin Smith and I returned to the stage with Hollywood Babylon. We want you to come out and join us. It's a good time.
No.
I get really drunk usually, and Kevin gets really baked. And it's like two great tastes that taste great together.
Go home. Get a job. Get a job.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
on stage at Hollywood Babylon. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for this Friday night's show.
Go home to mommy.
I told you that James Corden and Jennifer Lopez was amazing last night. Although I mocked it, I scoffed.
Mm-hmm.
I said it was unnecessary. I found myself watching, and boy, Jennifer Lopez is just so sweet and charming and lovely. And yet you hear these horrible stories about her backstage at events and making demands and things, but she seems just so great.
Can't believe everything you hear.
Well, I was watching last night, and they just had a great time together. James Corden is so fun. At one moment, he grabbed her phone and said, "You must have the best phone in the world. How many famous people do you have in your phone?" She's like, "Some. I'm not going to name them. Let me go through." And he starts naming off names as
no.
he's scrolling through her contacts. And he said, "I want to just, can I text someone? Anyone?" And she said, "No, you can't." So let me just write a text. And he wrote a text to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, wow.
While she was in the passenger seat freaking out as he was writing it. Here's just about a minute of him writing a text to Leo DiCaprio while Jennifer Lopez is essing a brick, scared to death that he's going to send it.
"Hey, baby. Okay. Hey, baby. I'm kind of feeling..."
No!
"Feeling like I need to cut loose."
I'm not gonna let you send that.
"Like I need to cut..."
I will not let you send that.
Wait, you haven't even finished it. "Hey, baby."
Here's what he's gonna be like. "Hang on. Is it?
Hey, baby. I'm kind of feeling like I need to cut loose. Any suggestions?"
"No. Any Look at you making me use my damn ears.
Hang on. Hang on. Any..."
Oh. "Hold on. I'm leaving.
"Any suggestions, let me know. J-Lo."
Yeah? "Sign it J-Lo. That would be really good."
"Brackets.
I'm getting the wrong
J-Lo,
idea.
J-Lo, you know, from the block."
And by the way, he sent it. He pushed send and she flips out. And later in the scene, they get a response from Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
Yeah. Who says, "You mean club-wise, boo-boo?" That was
no!
his response. And she was shocked. Like, "I can't believe he thought that was a real text, first of all." And then he responded with that, which is lame. So they had a good laugh at his expense.
Oh, I love them.
It was charming.
Hector writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, you are absolutely right about the kidnappings. My family..."
Still up on kidnapping questions.
Wasn't listening at all.
Nope.
"My family has suffered 5 kidnappings."
Right.
"And several calls for ransom money."
What part of the world is Hector from?
He doesn't say.
Yeah.
Hector, is there any way you could call us?
He's going to pay for the wall. That's all I'm saying.
is there any way that you could call us, Hector, and give us more details about how 5 different family members were kidnapped from your house?
Let me see if the questions came in handy. Let me see if he had any questions and if they came in handy. My guess was questions are irrelevant at that stage because it's pay the money or lose your loved one. You're not going to start playing 20 questions, Bean.
You want to know.
You drop off the paper bag in the trash can in the park and then you pick up your loved one by the train station.
Who
Boom.
Knows more about kidnapping? You, me, or Hector, who's actually lived through it?
Did he say he used kidnap questions?
He didn't mention it in this initial
then
email, but maybe that's
it.
Further information we'll get from him
Sharp
when we get
Royals!
Him on the
phone.
It's my favorite.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Warren Beatty is 79 years old today. Eric Clapton turns 71. Greatest guitar player ever?
Well, he's got to be in the conversation.
Up there, yeah.
Absolutely.
Got to be in the top three, right?
Absolutely.
Him? In pop music, in rock and roll. I mean, I know there's guys who play Spanish flamenco guitar and stuff who are pretty accomplished. But in terms of popular music, rock music, Clapton, top three. Got to be Clapton, Van Halen, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Page.
I'm going to go to
Where do you
trucks.
Put Hendrix?
Where do you? I mean, I know. That's the first thing I thought, too. But there's only room for three.
Page, huh?
I'm going Hendrix over Page.
Really?
I'm going... Hendrix, Page, Clapton. I'm
no.
sorry.
So you got
Eddie.
No
I'm
Eddie
sorry,
Van Halen.
I'm sorry, Eddie. I'm sorry. I love your ex-wife and your kid Wolfie, but there is no room for you.
But Clapton is the one we all agree on.
Yes, he's definitely in the top three. No matter how you choose the other two, Clapton makes the top three. Yeah,
right, there you go.
And Derek Trucks.
Ian Ziering, 52. Piers Morgan is 51. Celine Dion, 48. Nora Jones turns 37. And MC Hammer.
I told you, homeboy.
Can I touch it?
You can't touch it.
Oh, come on. Yeah, let me just touch it once. Touch it once.
You can't touch it.
What if I just quickly? So frustrating.
Yo, let me bust
I just want to touch it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous Carrick at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget, you can still vote for who will be the opening act for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. We were just talking to Bob Saget about that at the Shrine on Saturday night. We have 10 finalists up at KROQ.com. All you have to do is go on and cast a vote for which one you like the best. Boy, it's a good batch, too, isn't it?
Really is.
A lot of very funny people out there that we appreciate so much listening to the show. One of you will get to open the program at the Shrine, but it's dependent on you, the Kevin Bean listener, to go to KROQ.com and cast your vote. When I woke up a couple of mornings ago and saw that there had been another international incident in the sky, another hijacking of Egypt Air. And by the way, just as an aside, why are there so many hijackings of planes outside of the United States and none inside the United States? Why have we not had a hijacking of an airline in 40 years?
Thanks for jinxing us, Bean.
No, it's just weird because you see it happen all the time in Russia and China, and this story happens to be Egypt Air. What is it we're doing that they're not doing that prevents this from happening in America?
Maybe the whole taking off your shoes 2 ounces thing is working.
Yeah, maybe so, because somebody could kidnap, you know, could hijack a plane with conditioner or something, right?
Bean.
I'm okay. Egypt Air Flight 181 landed in Cyprus. A hijacker had taken control of the plane and demanded the diversion. It was not scheduled to go there, but here's the news report, and we can find out more about what the man's motive was, not what you might have thought, which is terrorism or some sort of political statement.
Tense moments early this morning when an Egypt airplane was hijacked and diverted to a Mediterranean island.
After several hours, all hostages on board were released and the alleged hijacker arrested.
The drama began on an early morning flight from Alexandria to Cairo when a passenger told the pilot he was wearing a suicide belt. And the hijacker's motives remain unclear. But witnesses say he threw a letter on the tarmac and asked it be delivered to his ex-wife in Cyprus.
So, he was trying to prove to his ex-wife, I assume, that he wasn't a crazy person worth being broken up with by hijacking a plane.
Well done.
That's what he decided to do. There were 55 passengers on the plane. They were scheduled to go from Alexandria to Cairo within Egypt. And as you heard in the news report, ended in Cyprus as well. Do people just run out of good ideas on how to win back their exes? And that's how they end up with bad ideas. Like, I know I'll hijack a plane.
I think you just get to the point of desperation where you're like, what can I do? What can I hijack a plane? That makes perfect sense. Let's do that.
And I know that sometimes people aren't thinking straight, you know, like the people who go in and shoot up a business because they fired them. That's not the way to prove that they made a mistake by firing you. All you're doing is proving their point, which is that you shouldn't be working there. And I kind of feel like this guy's ex-wife is watching the news and going, seriously, what kind of a jackhole are you that you do something like this? By the way, we're going to take your calls. If you or someone in your life or that you know of did something crazy to get the attention of an ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, ex-husband, that's what we're looking for. The grand statements that people made because they wanted to get someone's attention at 1-800-520-1067. Today, by the way, Allie, just by sheer coincidence, is the 35th anniversary of John Hinckley shooting at President Ronald Reagan to impress a woman.
That's right.
That's probably one of the most famous incidences ever of somebody doing crazy to get somebody else's attention. John Hinckley was a guy who was obsessed with the actress Jodie Foster. And he thought that he would somehow, in his mind, it made sense that he would somehow win her over if he shot the president, which, by the way, didn't work out for him.
Well, for many reasons.
For a lot of reasons. He's still in a mental hospital. So he and Jody did not end up living happily ever after.
And she doesn't like dudes. Right. So maybe make that clear before you start shooting.
Well, I don't think that was obvious to most of us at the time that happened. But just by coincidence, we're having this conversation. That was 35 years ago that happened. Back to the story at Egypt Air. And again, we'll take your calls 1-800-520-1067. Despite the terror caused by the hijacking of the flight, officials were quick to declare there was no political motive behind the incident, which is what I think we all thought was going on, sure. Is this was a terrorism. What followed was a series of bizarre demands, including to see a Cypriot woman who was his estranged lover with whom he had children. I don't like that word, lover. This is not about terrorism, said television. This is about an individual action of a person. It is not terrorism related. So there you go. He's an idiot.
I did something that I am not proud of to get the attention of an ex.
Ooh.
Yeah. I went to a Fish concert.
Say no more.
Yep.
Oh, no, I was kidding. That's awesome. It. What was the problem with that?
I went to a Fish concert.
Because you knew he would
because
be there?
He loved Fish, and he'd be like, oh, my God, you were at that show? That's awesome. Oh, it was the worst.
F*** hippies. I mean, period.
Right?
F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Amen. Be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
So did you see him? Did you run up to him and everybody was excited?
No, I texted him. Like, I'm at a Fish show. He's like, cool. Like, yeah.
it didn't work out for you, though.
Yeah, sent him a picture. I'm like, I'm taking pictures at a Fish show. Awesome. You're weird. And that was it.
In retrospect, should you have hijacked a plane instead? Would that have been less painful for you than go to a Fish show?
For me, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We're screening calls right now. If you or someone you know has done something, a big, grand, dramatic gesture to try to get the attention of an ex, that's the topic on the table today. We'll take your calls next right after this on K-Rock. The band Lucas Graham joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. They sing that 7 Year song that you like so much, and they got a new album coming out within the next week or so. I've heard a couple of the other songs, which will surprise you as being part of the same band. I love when you hear a song from a band, and then you hear the next song, and you go, man, I can't believe that's the same band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot
of range
there. So anyway, that's coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, we're talking about the guy who tried to hijack, an Air Egypt plane a couple of days ago. It did turn out, by the way, that he was lying. He did not have a suicide vest on. That was just a fake. He could not have blown up the plane anyway, but he did it because he was trying to impress his ex-girlfriend. And I mentioned that as an aside, it's curious that there have been no hijackings in America of a big plane since D.B. Cooper back in 1971. A lot of people have written in to say, oh, what about 9/11? Yeah, anyone can take down a plane with a suicide bomb or something like that or fly in it. But I'm talking about hijackings where you get on and you're trying to get out of the country and land someplace successfully, or you're trying to get a bunch of money or something like that. That never happens anymore in America.
So maybe stop saying it, though. You're jinxing us. You know that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got you, yeah.
A lot of people forgot about 9/11, but
no,
I don't know.
I haven't forgotten about 9/11. It's just that's not what we're talking about, hijacking a plane where you get out of it at the end of the day. So that's a crazy thing that he tried to do to impress his girlfriend. We want to hear what has happened in your life. Somebody had a grand gesture to try to win you back, or you tried to win someone back, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Glendale first and talk to Barbie. She's on line two. Barbie, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. What do you have to add to this?
Well, I had an ex-boyfriend, and we broke up, and then he told me he had back cancer, and I had to get back together with him because he had 3 months to live.
Oh, my God!
What exactly is back cancer?
Exactly. I would think he'd have some kind of clinical name for what his condition would be.
Like he would have
done a little research.
You, Barbie.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He would walk around college. I was away at college, and he was in Glendale at college. He would walk around with a cane, like limping in front of my friends so that they would report back to me, hey, he's in pain. You better get back together with him, whatever. I'm like, I'm not going to save him. He's still alive. I found him on Facebook, and he's married.
Oh, my God. So he was cured of the back cancer? They found a way to put him out of his misery?
I guess so.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, good for him.
I couldn't believe it.
Thank you, Barbie. We appreciate you listening so much. Let's try Chelsea in Reseda, line three, up next here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
I think this happens a lot.
I think it does, too. Yeah. Chelsea, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What do you have?
Morning. I had my ex. He has created several Facebook accounts, and one time he even pretended to be my 13-year-old little cousin.
Ew. And he's doing it so he can just kind of keep tabs on you?
He wants to get recent pictures of me. I would get random numbers texting me. I think he's changed his number about 4 times, asking for pictures. He would create profiles in Spanish. He would create numbers texting me in Spanish and ask for pictures. And of course, I'd troll him and like send him a picture of like Honey Boo Boo's mom or something like that.
Well done.
So that's really more just your ex stalking you than he's not even trying to win you back, is he?
Well, he would get mad, and he would say, don't you under, when I figure out his fake profiles, he would say, don't you realize that this is me trying to tell you that we're meant to be together?
Oh, wow.
We're one and the same.
Chelsea, don't get a rabbit. Just don't.
Yeah, yeah. So he basically proved that you made the right decision the first time when you broke up with him, it sounds like.
Yep, and every time he tries to pin on me and say, why are you so self-conscious? And
well,
and
you're doing the right thing by shutting it down. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Calabasas, line 5. This is going to be Tara. Hey, Tara, you had an ex who hijacked a plane to get your attention, or something else just as weird?
Weird, pathetic, horrible, and it's my story, actually. It's something I did.
Oh, no.
All right. Oh, you did. All right, let's hear it.
I beat myself up in the bathroom. Mark Wahlberg style, like the movie Fear.
No.
I saw him in the nightclub. And it's more pathetic. I slipped and fell, and my head hit the dawn, and I got a lump. And in the mirror, I thought, this is great. And I continued to exacerbate the wound and agitate it more until I looked and put some makeup, some scratches, lipstick, all that. Went outside, looked for him, and told him I got beat up and I needed help.
And what did he say? Oh, I'll take care of you.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah, he went looking for this guy that I had to make up on the top of my head, and the plan just went array because he went looking for someone. And I was let's talk. I want to talk.
I just want to cuddle. I just got beat up.
So did your story fall apart that night, or did it work out, accomplish its goal, and you guys got back together?
Oh, no, it went really bad. He found out kind of what I did because word got around and, you know, the whole you're crazy, restraining order, stay away from my family.
Oh,
Tara.
No.
Oh, Tara.
Except
that's
I'm not
mean
or Mark Wahlberg. I'm just a girl in love.
Yeah. So,
well, you're crazy. You know
you
that,
are crazy.
Right?
You are crazy, okay. Though. That, we can all agree on that. All right. Let's never break up with Tara, by the way. Let's just. Why don't we say goodbye now so that we part on good terms? You still like us, Tara? We're cool?
Oh, God. She's gone.
Oh, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. She's beating herself up right now. All right. Thanks for the calls, everybody. Lucas Graham is here. We'll be right back. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. The guy's name is Lucas Graham, but the band's name is also Lucas Graham, and they are here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hello, boys.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
We're good.
Very good, thank you.
Not always... as tired as you'd expect us to be.
I know. This week that you guys have had, you did the Troubadour on Monday night, right?
Yep.
Jimmy Kimmel Live last night.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I saw some of. It was phenomenal.
Thank you.
And are you still surprised? I know you guys have been around for a couple of years now, and you've been playing a lot in America recently. Are you still surprised at how well received you are by American audiences? Those people were going crazy last night.
Yeah, we get quite surprised. And we're an 11-hour flight away from home. On the direct connection. It would take around about 16 or 24 to get there if you were stopping somewhere. So when you're that far away from home, you're not really expecting anything. And I think that's what makes it magical.
Yeah.
You step onto the stage or you walk into the room, you're not expecting anything, and you get this massively positive response from everyone in the room.
It's amazing.
It's really lovely.
It is amazing, and I was thinking about this yesterday because your song has been number one for several weeks down in Australia, for instance. I mean, you couldn't be further away in the world from Denmark than Australia yet.
Yeah.
But if you walked down the street, you'd be hearing that song coming out of every radio. I mean, it just has to – you never imagine that, I don't think, when you're sitting in a room writing a song or recording a song, that it's going to have that kind of reach, I bet.
No, you definitely don't. But it's lovely to see that the music that is heartfelt, the music that we worked hard on is getting airplay and is being listened to around the world. It's very rewarding.
When you guys were coming up in Denmark, which, by the way, I've been to Copenhagen a couple times, and I love it so much. It's one of my favorite cities in Europe. But when you guys were coming up, are there role models for musicians? Like I know the Ravenettes, I guess, came out of Denmark, but
we passed them a while ago.
are there a lot of musical acts that I'm not familiar with that have come out that have been very successful around the world from Denmark that you could look at and go, hey, they did it,
well,
so I can do it?
There's Mary that had the number one Lean On song with Major Lazer. She's a lovely performer, a lovely songwriter.
Okay.
Yeah. But then
Volbeat was a massive rock band, but it's not our style.
The thing you probably would know the best from Denmark is Barbie Girl.
Aqua. If you know that song.
Oh, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie
I would have
girl.
To say
sure.
that the biggest guy to look up to coming out of Denmark is actually Bent Fabricius Bjerre, who won a Grammy in the 1950s with Alley Cat.
Oh, that's right.
And
I remember
that song. The funny story yeah. about this one is that Bent was up against Elvis Presley to win this Grammy.
Yeah.
So he thought, you know what, I'm not going to fly to America for the Grammys because Elvis is going to win
sure.
anyway. So he's sitting at home, and then someone like comes by his house and says, "Oh, Bent, I just heard on the radio you won a Grammy.
Oh, the
why aren't you there?"
Guy.
And Bent was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah, he still thinks he's kidding, probably.
Well, he's still alive. He's like 98. He still
something
plays
like that,
the
yeah.
piano.
Good place, yeah.
He still plays, acts in movies. He's a legend.
Aww.
But we all agree the Grammys made the right choice then, right? Because who the F is Elvis Presley, right?
What happened to that guy?
What happened to that guy?
Well, according to Men in Black, he went home.
On top of a lot of American stuff, Lucas.
Yeah, no kidding.
You get movies over there in Denmark?
Well, we do have television, you know.
Oh, interesting.
So you guys have known each other a long time. The band?
10, 11 years.
And are we talking high school?
Yeah. Yes. Mark, and the drummer, and I, he doesn't have a mic because we don't like him talking in interviews.
Understood.
He should have a mic because his nickname is Lovestick. And I would like to get into this. Does that just have to do with the sticks of the drums? Yeah. What's happening?
I mean, Lucas came up with this name. I don't know. I think it has something to do with yeah.
Well, his second name, though, is almost Stick. So Mark Stick.
Okay.
And then he's a really big fan of what?
Questlove.
Lovely drummer.
Oh, there you go.
So
sure.
Questlove.
Okay.
Passion for the drums and the drumstick.
Okay.
Love Stick.
It all makes sense now. I went into the direction.
The only better one is Mr. Magnus here, who plays the bass. He's called Magnum.
Oh,
nice.
Because he goes deep.
Go on.
By the way,
on the bass, of course.
Oh, okay,
Lovestick
sure.
and Magnum both sound more like Tinder names than they do nicknames for a rock band. I think you're going to be very successful.
Right.
The album, by the way, comes out in America tomorrow. Oh, I guess it's now. It's worldwide.
Is it tomorrow already?
Or Friday.
Still
I'm
Friday.
Sorry, Friday.
Friday,
yeah.
Wow.
First.
I was just getting nervous there.
I was projecting toward the weekend, but we're not quite there yet. So I was mentioning earlier that I've heard a couple of other tracks from the album, and I was so pleasantly surprised how different the songs I heard were from 7 years. And that is to your credit, gentlemen, that you got a lot of different – you cover a lot of ground on this record.
Well, we've been writing songs, like me and Don Stefano, my main co-writer, we've been writing songs since the first year of high school, so nearly 11 years now. And you just kind of end up having a lot of, I don't know, in our way of writing songs, we want diversity, we want adversity. And the whole idea of having one big crybaby record just never appealed to me. I mean, there are so many there's so many love song records. You can put them on, you can cry for 35 minutes on end. But that's not what we're about. We're about giving people fun and loving emotions. Like, yeah, you can cry at a show, but mostly you dance and laugh.
Yeah, I think people.
Don't tell Adele.
It's worked out for her, though. I think people will be surprised when they see Lucas Graham in concert because, like you said, you guys have lots of upbeat, like really fun songs.
It's a rock and roll show.
It's, yeah, exactly, yeah. Now, because of the – I know 7 years was a very personal song for you to write, and you've spoken very eloquently in interviews about how, you know, it has to do with your dad passing away, unfortunately relatively young. Do you hear from fans who connect it to things that happen in their own life, and it becomes a very personal thing for them as well?
Yeah, I think that's what it's the largest, I don't know, connecting point in our music is definitely that heartfelt emotion. Of, yeah, 7 years, happy home, mama said, you're not there. It's just real stories about real people. Like, we're just four ordinary guys, and the people we're performing for, I presume, are ordinary people, too. And yeah, I think the age aspect of 7 years makes it very easy for people to place themselves in some kind of a category in the song and, like, look at their own life through my lyrics.
But you're so young to be thinking about how you're going to feel when you're 40, when you're 50,
you Americans
when you're 60.
And your focus on age.
Well, I'm just saying a lot of people your age, Lucas, are not thinking at all about what their life is going to be like when they're 60 years old and what regrets they're going to have and how much time they have. I mean, those are pretty deep thoughts for a young man.
Maybe Lucas is a lot deeper than
You think, Bean?
Well, apparently
maybe
so.
Give him a little credit.
Apparently
he's
so.
He's a deep thinker. He has deep thoughts.
You could say I've been through a lot of things in my life, and experience and age aren't the same thing, as we always say to the older women at our concerts.
Mm-hmm. Why do you look at me? That was
a compliment, by the way. By the
okay.
way.
Lovestick is looking for you on Tinder right now, in fact.
No, I've traveled around South America. I studied law. You know, I've lost my father. I've had my friends go to jail. And, so you end up having a lot of experience in life, and that makes it easier to write these deep, deep songs.
Last month, you guys were kind enough to visit us down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space and recorded a few numbers live. By the way, we have that up at krock.com. You can actually watch the band Lucas Graham performing live.
It's a well-sounding room.
It's a beautiful room. We love it so much. And you guys did a great job with a number of songs. But we want to play for people who maybe haven't heard the live version of 7 Years. Lucas Graham is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And this is what they sounded like just a few weeks ago in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Listen up.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old, it was a big, big world, but we thought we were bigger, pushing each other to the limits. We were learning quicker. By 11, smoking herb and drinking burning liquor. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady figure. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely. Once I was 11 years old. I always had that dream like my daddy before me. So I started writing songs, I started writing stories. Something about that glory just always seemed to bore me. Cause only those I really love will ever really know me. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. Before the morning sun when life was lonely. Once I was 20 years old. I only see my goals, I don't believe in failure. Cause I know the smallest voices, they can make it major. I got my boys with me, at least those in favor. And if we don't meet before I leave, I hope I'll see you later. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. I was frightened by everything I saw before me. Once I was 20 years old. Soon we'll be 30 years old. Our songs have been sold. We've traveled around the world and we're still roaming. Soon we'll be 30 years old. I'm still learning about life. My woman brought children for me, so I can sing them all my songs and I can tell them stories. Most of my boys are with me, some are still out seeking glory. Some I had to leave behind, my brother, I'm still sorry. Soon I'll be 60 years old, my daddy got 61. Remember life and then your life becomes a better one. I made a man so happy when I rode a little once. I hope my children come and visit once or twice a month. Soon I'll be 60 years old, will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a lot of children who can warm me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Soon I'll be 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a lot of children who can warm me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Once I was 7 years old, mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once I was 7 years old.
That's what he sounded like, and the band sounded like playing behind him live in the Red Bull Soundspace last month here at K-Rock. No studio trickery, by the way.
We sound better now. We're sorry.
Listening to that, you don't think you sounded as good?
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
It was a great performance.
It was okay.
That was a good take.
The album comes out on Friday, by the way, and it is just self-titled for the band. It's just called Lucas Graham, right?
Yeah, it's because I don't want their names on the record.
All right.
I'm really trying to make this about me.
Yeah. Lucas has a very big ego.
Yeah.
I asked
the guys during the song there how many songs they have, because I was just wondering. You know, they've been around. I mean, they're new to a lot of our listeners, but you guys have been, you know, playing together for 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that.
Oh, but now you're rephrasing the question, though.
Yes.
You asked how many songs we had, not as a band. As a band, we've got around about 30.
All right.
But me, personally, I have more than 1,000 songs I've never tried to record and release because they're simply not good enough.
More than 1,000?
Yeah.
Are some of them just like an idea for a song, like just a title or just one lyric or something like that? Or are these songs you actually at some point sat down and wrote out 20 lines on?
No, I'd say probably half of them are between half and two-thirds songs rather than like full-length three verses and all that. But yeah, you could say they're all full enough to be considered
a song.
A song. Well, they're all full enough, so if you opened up the book, you'd be able to like rewrite it or finish it. And it's a nice inspiration to go 8 years back in time or 12 years back in time. I started writing lyrics when I was 12, but I started writing songs in the style I'm doing now when I was 20. So for the past 7 years, I've just been compiling lyrics. So I can, when I'm bored, I just look through the lyrics and find a nice song to rewrite and make better.
That is so interesting to me because there are so many songwriters for whom the craft is sweating blood. Like it's almost impossible to get an idea and to get started. But it sounds like you have so many ideas coming at you from so many different places that it's a question of capturing them all.
Well, there's this lovely quote in the Bible, and I'm not religious now, but this is the closest thing you get to what is inspiration. Inspiration is basically to be filled with the voice of God. That's what the Latin word means. And that's the whole thing. Be silent and know that I am God. It's knock and the door will be opened. Search and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given. If you can set yourself in that silent mode where all the commotion of the world doesn't exist to you, you can grasp inspiration. You can grab it from nowhere and pull it down onto pieces of paper. And you can leave the room with something. Like you can go into a room and have nothing and walk out of there and have something. And that's the amazing thing about the creative process.
Amen, Lucas Graham.
Amen, you guys. The album is available everywhere this Friday. The band is Lucas Graham. It's been a real pleasure having you stop by the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Ralph, you know, in general, I don't care for foreigners, obviously, because
no.
I believe in making America great again.
Sure.
And you can't do that with foreigners.
They'll pay for that wall, too, goddammit.
They sure will. Yep. But I sure liked our little friends from Copenhagen.
Charming.
Here.
Yeah.
Weren't they
delightful.
Just delightful and smart and nice and funny and talented? And
centered and cool and egoless. Just seemed like they got it.
They understood. Smelled great.
Yeah.
Thanks for that,
You're welcome.
Allie revealed she would have boned one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
He got that big thumbs up from her. So Lucas Graham just
poor
stopped
bastard.
By.
What did he ever do to her?
I think I will allow them into the country in the new Trump America. I think they're keepers. They're good ones. They're the good ones.
I didn't know you were on his staff. Are you on?
Yes, I'm going to be the chief of Homeland Security for President Trump. Yes, I forgot to announce that I'm leaving the show.
Congratulations.
That's going to be my new job. So anyway, I like those guys very much. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on with you?
Before I get to the beat, I do want to give a shout out and thank you to the folks from Jersey Mike's. Boy, those are good sandwiches. They brought us over a couple sandwiches to have for breakfast this morning. And, you know, being a Philly boy, I enjoy a good sub. Or hoagie, as we call them back home.
Hoagie.
Oh, the worst voice.
Oh, I love me a good hoagie.
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 Hoagie. It's a sub. It's a submarine sandwich.
It's a hoagie.
It's a sub.
So thanks to Jersey Mike's. The reason I wanted to bring it up, because they're doing an amazing event all during the month of March. It's called Jersey Mike's March Month of Giving. And for a lot of the Jersey Mike's here in the greater L.A. market, they're raising money for something called Operation Gratitude. Operation Gratitude is a charity that annually sends about 150,000 care packages filled with snacks and handmade items and entertainment and hygiene products and stuff, letters to new recruits, veterans, first responders, wounded warriors, caregivers,
United States service members deployed overseas all over the place. And they do a great job. And I just want to thank everybody from Jersey Mike's for doing something really cool for those who serve this great country of ours. And it's a very nice thing that they do.
Yeah, it's terrific.
And if you're in the Inland Empire, the Jersey Mike's down there, they goes right to the Bob Hope USO. So just good stuff they're doing for people who do important work for us. And so
good people and good hoagies.
Good hoagies.
That was good, Bean.
If you want a good hoagie, better than his John, that's for sure.
It's a What's My John section. I think everyone would like to get tickets in the That's My John section.
I lived in Baltimore for a while. I lived in Baltimore, and a lot of crossover in the accent there between Baltimore and Philadelphia.
There are some similarities.
Yeah.
But the Baltimore accent's just hideous. Philly,
yeah, but the Philadelphia one
is... it's like a sweet violin lulling you to sleep.
Is it?
Yes.
Our next guest, Coleman Domingo, who's coming in, very talented actor from The Fear of the Walking Dead. He's from Philadelphia as well, Ralph.
Do you know Bob Saget's also from Philadelphia?
Really?
Boy, this is quite a show today.
It's Philly. Philly heavy. It's Philly all the time.
Right?
That's
it's like
what
Philly's
I'm
best. See?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you don't. All right, let's get to some show business news. Miley Cyrus wants you to know that she has named her new hairstyle. I don't know if you've seen her new haircut.
Oh, the Rachel?
No. She's got awkwardly short bangs and shockingly white platinum hair. Looks like she just got out of bed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She calls it the Swedish porn star. That's her new look. Swedish porn star.
She is so edgy.
She's outrageous.
So edgy.
You're shocking us, Miley. Stop. We can't take any more of your edginess.
Yeah.
That's not a super clever name.
She's horrible.
She's great.
She's the worst.
She's great. I wish she wouldn't try so hard.
She's the worst person
alive. She's great
the way
she is.
Turns out. My haircut's called the Swedish porn star. And I smoke a lot of pot. I'm so outrageous. She's a nightmare. She's a desperate nightmare.
I bet if you met her, you'd like her very much.
Do you?
Yes.
What kind of money? What kind of money are you laying down for that?
Well, you've already decided you hate her, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of good about Miley Cyrus as well.
Stop.
Sorry. Oh, no.
We got to move on because the Miley people are calling.
I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV.
How was that?
You did? Concert. Was that Rodney?
And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses. I didn't go out and get the special ones.
Uh-huh.
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked. It was really good. She was like, she was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap.
Oh, okay. That went south.
And she's hosting, I guess, the award, the Teen Awards.
Okay. It's getting creepy now.
All right. Oh, and sad news for Avicii fans. The DJ producer announced he will stop touring after 2016. He's not done making music, but he will no longer perform live. Now you'll just have to get it via downloads or from his albums. Sad news. In a released press release, Avicii said, "Hey, I'm not going to make no more music alive for you with the peoples in the front of people. Hey, why you go? Hey, how you do? I'm Avicii. Everybody come a Roma, see me."
He's a Swedish.
Hey, how about that Colosseum? That's some piece of architecture,
no? He's from Stockholm.
Hey,
Sweden.
How about a pepperoni? You like a salami?
He doesn't do any of that.
I'll give you a corpana, come cool. What do you say?
Sound like that at all.
I'm Avicii.
That's not his statement.
When the moon hits you. You are like a big pizza pie. That's Avicii.
That's not what we're talking about here. No.
Oh. Sad news for Avicii and for all of Italy. I think he's one of their biggest stars.
Again, Stockholm.
He may not have ever even
Stockholm,
been
Stockholm, mm-hmm. Italy. That's what I said. Today's celebrity birthday is Warren Beatty, actor, director, producer. At one time, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. Then he kind of stopped working. He makes a movie about every 10 years.
It seems like
nuts.
I saw over the weekend a little bit of Bullworth, which I had not seen in a long time, and he is hilarious in that film.
Mm-hmm. I think he's one of a great group of filmmakers who just don't work nearly enough.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at Reds or Heaven Can Wait, I mean, just a ton of great films. Starting with Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, just amazing work he's always been a part of, and then nothing. I wonder if it's vanity, because he was always going to be a very vain person, and he was a very handsome man early in his life. He was a great heartthrob.
Yeah.
And with age, you know.
That's a great. But he could still
subsides.
Direct. I mean, yeah. He was a tremendous director. He still could certainly be doing that behind the scenes. But you're right. He does seem to have kind of semi-retired.
Eric Clapton, 71 years old today. MC Hammer turns 54. Ian Ziering's 52. Piers Morgan, 51 years old today. Celine Dion turns 48. And singer Norah Jones celebrates her 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is some great air drubbing, Coleman.
He
that
was
is,
living
you
it.
Are, you are Taylor yeah. Hawkins of the Foo Fighters. Well done, sir.
Thank you so
Actor
much.
Actor Coleman Domingo joins us in studio on The Kevin Amin Show. He's only been in movies like, oh, I don't know, Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, the upcoming Birth of a Nation that everyone is so excited about. You were in Selma. You were in The Butler. You've been on TV shows like The Great Nick Show on Showtime. And, of course, Fear the Walking Dead, which returns for everybody on Sunday, April the 10th on AMC. Coleman Domingo is here.
How thank are you, sir? So much for the applause. I'm great. How you guys doing?
We're doing fine, but I don't get a guy like you because you're such you have so many accomplishments as a writer and as an actor on Broadway and off Broadway and all these movies and all these TV shows. Why are you slumming it being on K-Rock today?
You got
bad advice.
Yeah.
No.
Someone steered you wrong.
You're my people, really. You know?
All right.
Exactly. I live here.
There are people who may have been following your career for a long time that would have been surprised to see you on Fear the Walking Dead. Are you surprised to be on that show?
You know, I'm actually not in a strange way because I think it's all about it's a show that fights for our humanity. Mm-hmm. Everyone should basically that's what the fight is about. It's not about the infected or walkers or zombies. It's about finding out who we really are, what we're really made of, and the bonds of family. And yeah.
Were you nervous because obviously The Walking Dead, huge, huge hit. The expectations of Fear the Walking Dead, like, oh my God.
You know,
how do we live up to it?
I think I was living under a rock for many years because I had no idea about this whole epidemic of the Walking Dead universe.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the moment I came out from under the rock and had an audition for Fear the Walking Dead, it was on.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, well, who are these people? And what is this show about? And
yeah.
There's action figures and, you know, Comic-Cons and what are those things? And who are these people? And the fans are rabid and hungry and excited. And actually, when I tell you, the sweetest fans as well.
Yeah.
You know, yes.
So you're seeing an entirely different side to showbiz that you didn't even know existed.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea it existed.
This is a completely different lane for you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been a part of these, you know, really... You know, put a shirt and tie on kind of films, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Or, you know, austere and things. And now I'm in this wild, wild universe. And I'm dirty. I'm getting down and dirty. I'm, you know, knocking out infected with, any sort of tool or weapon. You know, so I'm having a good time. Yeah.
Now, if I remember correctly, and I apologize that I did not go back and rewatch Fear the Walking Dead. So I'm hoping to just rely on my memory to get me into season two when it begins here. But Victor Strand kind of appears as a little bit of a savior. Like, he's got an oasis for the other characters that we've been following. You got a place to take them that they're going to be safe, right?
Absolutely. He is their own personal Jesus. That's the way I like to
nice.
Exactly.
And a boat.
Yeah, and a boat. But, you know, I think it's kind of nice to know. You never know if he's, like, their own personal Jesus or he's actually...
Satan.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar. Exactly. You never know.
Ooh.
Yeah, you don't know who to trust on this show. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What do you – are you an actor, Coleman, who has to create a rich backstory for Victor Strand, or are you comfortable enough just operating with whatever dialogue's on the page?
You know, and actually with this situation in particular, we really did have – we have to just rely with what's on the page because the writers, they're actually the gods and goddesses, and they really control and, you know, the puppeteers of our fate. So I only knew what I was going in on, what was on the page with for Victor Strand. I didn't know a lot about Victor Strand. I knew that he was mysterious. I know that he is going to have an interesting backstory. I knew that he was a man of means, and I knew that he was very slick and tricky with his words. And he was able to, you know, decimate a grown man in 5 seconds.
Same.
You know, like we
had,
right?
We had a guest on recently, and she brought up that these days in 2016 America, you're not looking for a guy, you know, with abs anymore. You're looking for a guy who can be there to protect you in the event of a zombie outbreak. And I just wonder, I mean, The Walking Dead has certainly put all of us on notice that, you know, S is going down and you got to know who you can count on to make you survive. Do you give any kind of thought, Coleman, to whether in real life you would be a person we would want on our team if in the event that something bad happened?
Well, first of all, I got stuck on the idea that I don't have abs. And
not,
I just,
I'm
I,
not
I,
talking
I,
about
I
you.
Stopped. I just I way stopped. To go, my brain just stopped. I was way like, wait a minute, do I got to get to the gym?
You can't Jesus, even conceive of not having abs. Look at you.
All of a sudden, I got, like, just stopped. I'm like, I have no idea what you said after abs. You know, not, guys not having abs. I was like, I have no idea. I just died a little bit.
Should you be on my team? Would I want you on my team in the event of a zombie apocalypse? I'm asking, how useful are you going to be in real life?
Very useful, especially after you get to the gym. I'm going to be very useful, and I promise I will drink green juices and I will stay healthy. But yeah, I think absolutely I would be the guy. Personally, I think you'll want Coleman on your team because I'm really a fast thinker, and I get really calm when things get out of control.
Oh, you need that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not the, you know, screaming, oh, Lord, help me. I'm not that person.
I might be. Yeah. Yeah, I might be that person.
I'll laugh through it, actually.
That's my defense mechanism.
Yeah.
When something bad goes down, I laugh hysterically.
Exactly.
And that, I thought that might calm other people down, but then they think I'm crazy. So it actually adds a whole new level.
It's a whole other level.
Coleman, we have a mutual friend, and she wanted me to ask you, when's the last time you were on stilts?
Wait a minute. This is a different friend.
Is it?
It is. Okay. Ah. When was the last time I was on stilts? Mm-hmm. Probably back in 1995.
Why were you on stilts?
Because I was touring with a company called Make a Circus, which was a political children's circus company that toured all over California and taught, you know, very interesting, provocative lessons about politics. And
well, kids love politics.
What haven't you done? It's insane.
Because, you know what? I think, I don't know, maybe I need Ritalin. I have no idea. But I do a lot. Maybe that's it.
I do also know from this friend that people don't invite you to parties at their houses. Why would that be?
Who is this? Wait a minute. Okay, now, okay. Oh, my gosh. This is your life. Are they going to come out of that door? Okay, like, oh, my gosh.
This is your life, Coleman Domingo.
Oh, my God, I'm crying. Okay, no. People, the strangest thing, no one ever invites me to their house for parties.
Why?
Because I live in Midtown Manhattan, and I have, like, a pretty decent apartment, and I have a terrace, which is, like, unheard of in New York City.
Right.
And I kind of like to, you know, throw great parties, and I have lots of great cocktailing going on and foods and snacks and... And it's a good vibe. I feel like I live sort of, my apartment is sort of like a Parisian brothel. It sort of looks like that, just a little bit. So it's kind of sexy. But people always want to come to my apartment. And I was like, how come I never get invited to anyone else's apartment? They said, because Coleman, your place is more fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm kind of a neat freak. So there's not like a lot of crap anywhere, you know.
I go to my
friend. What friend is this? Is it Anika Noni Rose?
It's Anika Noni Rose.
Oh, yay, ladies Anika and gentlemen, it's the Disney princess herself, Anika Noni Rose. That's my best friend, my sister.
This is so fascinating for me to be a fly on the wall and see what it would be like to be a young, successful, handsome, talented, popular person. Like, I can't even conceive of what your life is like, Coleman.
First
like
of all,
have friends and a great place.
Now I just got stuck on young. He called me young. I feel like I'm born again.
Yeah. Does it take the pain away from not having abs?
It takes the pain away from having, you know, being morbidly obese. Yeah, as what he referred to me as earlier. Yeah.
You've had your fingers in so many aspects of show business, as we've discussed, with all of the stage thing, with the writing thing, and with the movies thing, and the, you know, the TV thing. What's the dream project for you that one day when you get the show business capital, you're going to get made? Do you have one?
I actually do. The funny thing is someone just asked me that, and it took me a while to answer.
That was me, Coleman. It was like 10 seconds ago. You're losing it. You knew you heard it somewhere.
I heard it here first. And now I'm going to answer to the general public for the first time ever. What is it that I would like to do when I am running this world?
Yeah.
I would like actually to write. This is going to sound very strange. I like to write, direct, and star in a biopic about James Baldwin.
Oh, there you go.
Right. Because I think that his life story, these life stories of these epic human beings who had such an impact on all of us, and especially Americans, I think it should be done as an epic, epic story. And don't anyone steal this idea or I will come after you and kill you. But I think it needs to be done.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel that that's an idea whose time has come because he is such an influential figure in American history that is not a name everyone knows or appreciates. And we've been in the last few years because of movies like the Selma movie and the 42 movie, which, by the way, I think you were also in.
Yeah, I was in that. I remember correctly. That was cut out of that, though.
And the Nina Simone movie that's coming out. I think that now we're getting to the point where a lot of those stories of you know, influential African Americans are being made. So it's probably a good time to pitch that.
Plus, we always hear about his brother Alec and all of them.
Different Baldwin.
It's okay. Keep up with me. It's okay.
Make it happen, Coleman. That's a great idea.
What if I was serious?
I would love it if you were serious. That's where I live. So I'm like, oh my gosh.
All right, listen, before we run out of time.
Yes, I'm sorry.
When Fear the Walking Dead returns Sunday, April 10th on AMC, are we picking up immediately after where you last left us?
We're picking up like 1 minute after.
I've seen the trailers. In fact, we're going to play a segment here in a minute from the trailer of season two. You think that the panacea is, hey, we're just all going to swim out to the boat and everything's going to be great. It doesn't work out that way, does it, Colby?
Nothing ever works out that way in the zombie universe.
There aren't a lot of easy answers when the world has been taken over by the undead. Here's a little bit of the trailer of season two of Fear the Walking Dead.
What's happening isn't natural.
It couldn't be more natural. The world couldn't sustain itself, so it said enough.
If this is the end of the world, it's already over.
You know what the real danger is on the ocean? It's people.
You don't decide who lives and who dies.
Look at him! He's dying!
They're coming!
I just fixed it!
I choose survival.
Fear the Walking Dead. Season premiere Sunday, April 10th at 9, only on AMC.
Sounds like
a lighthearted family comedy. Yeah. Isn't it? It's great. Exactly.
And what a great cast, by the way. Kim Dickens is so wonderful. Cliff Curtis is so great. Obviously, the great Reuben Blades is on this. And you're not too shabby yourself, Coleman. Nah. You guys are doing great work over there on Fear the Walking Dead. I want to ask you one final question. Do you get to see Robert Kirkman much? How much is he involved in this spinoff of The Walking Dead?
You know, he's very involved, although I probably just saw him last night for the first time. You know, our producers, they hang in there. They have a lot of work to do on, you know, between Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead. And I'm sure, like, taking care of their families and things like that. They're around. You feel their influence, but, you know, we're shooting down in Baja, Mexico right now. So we're really sort of concentrated.
We're so excited to have the program return. I mean, it was one of those that, you know, we all were a little bit nervous when we heard that there was going to be a second Walking Dead show. We were like, do we really need that? But then we saw how different it was and a whole new set of characters to fall in love with. So we're psyched
to have
it come
back. I mean, think about these Los Angelinos, you know, that's a whole other breed of human being.
Totally different than how they might react in D.C. or Atlanta or someplace like that. All right, Coleman, you're great, man. Thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed talking to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
106.7 KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, do you have you don't have to say who, but do you have a favorite of the top 10 finalists in the opening act contest to play our show Saturday night at the Shrine?
I have a couple I'm sort of going back and forth between.
But
there's a couple of great ones in there.
Lot of talent. We asked, it was open for anybody who wanted to be funny and send in a 2-minute video. We got hundreds and hundreds of entries. We narrowed them down to 10 that you can find at krock.com right now in the Kevin and Bean section. We just asked that you go and vote for your favorite no more than once per day, and the winner actually gets to open the show at the Shrine. This is Sina Amundsen, is that right?
Amundsen.
Let's hear her.
Yeah.
It's not easy being Persian, you guys. It's not easy being me. I am the hairiest man I know. Second hairiest man in America. Third hairiest man in Glendale. I have to comb my arms and my shoulders every morning when I wake up. 100 times each side. When I sweat, it beads down my chest like Plinko chips on The Price is Right. Like, come on, 5,000.
You can vote for Cena or whoever you like best at krock.com and then look for that person at the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness Show this Saturday night at the Shrine. We still have some cheap seats left if you want to go to AXS.com and join us for the party. It's going to be fun. Rob is here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
He is not smooth.
Because he's so hairy.
He's hairy.
He's a hairy fellow.
Yeah. Oh.
I picked that right up from his chunk.
I got a Chewbacca vibe when I watched the video myself.
For his hair. Yeah. He's got some hair.
He's not smooth.
Speaking of hairy, interesting side effect for some women when they get pregnant. You grow hair in odd places.
I like that line on your belly.
Yeah. That best case scenario.
Oh, really?
I was thinking nipples.
Oh.
Is that a thing?
Really?
Yep. Or in Adele's case, as she revealed during an interview in Glasgow, Scotland, she grew a beard while carrying her son Angelo.
Really?
Says she named it Larry. Named her beard.
So,
facial hair grew as a result of her being pregnant.
Yes.
How about that?
Dermatologist Jessica Weiser tells Us Weekly magazine that some speculate it's due to fluctuating hormones and wild amounts of testosterone that sometimes can be present in pregnant women. But she said, really, there's no scientific explanation for extra hair, which is not uncommon to grow on the face, abdomen, back, and breasts.
Back?
Back hair.
Really?
Yep.
Oh,
you know how ladies can get.
Right? So maybe that guy's just pregnant. That hairy comedian we just heard from.
Could be. So Adele, though, is still perfect, right?
Yes!
Okay.
Rumor has it.
She's the best.
Yeah.
Unlike that stinky Miley Cyrus. Her stink. You know, you just know she stinks, right? You can look at her and just say that she stinks.
She looks very clean.
She looks stinky.
Because you do see her naked body in almost every photo of her.
Stink.
She looks clean.
She looks stink.
You don't see her as spending a lot of time with deodorant.
She looks stink.
Wouldn't you look stank?
Nope, she looks stink.
I don't think that's
right. I'm guessing, best case scenario, Miley Cyrus, patchouli. Maybe.
Oh,
maybe you get some patchouli.
Alone. That is the worst.
But otherwise, it's just pure stank. Stanky Cyrus. Miley Stankus.
A lot of people say they really, truly don't care what people think, but I actually really kind of don't.
No, because I'm so out there. I'm so wild. I'm a wild child. I smoke pot, and I named my hairdo a porn star.
I don't really ever think about anything of what I'm doing except the way that I feel about it. People are like, was that, you know, a conscious decision to do that? I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I was just doing what I was doing on a stage, which that's what being, like, an artist is you just do what you're doing.
Oh, for F's sake.
Come on. Bean, when you listen to
holy
that, come
crap.
On.
You can
Bean.
Scrape the pretense off with a butter knife.
Look, she's...
Bean.
Young.
You can't defend that.
You know, it doesn't lay out the young people who aren't douchebags.
Lucas Graham, his
young,
whole band.
Young,
very smart,
young,
articulate
delightful,
man.
Deep.
I agree. Yes.
I just go out there and I don't even know what I'm doing because I'm an artist and that's just how it is. I didn't even know I put this strap on dildo on. I had no idea. It just happened because I'm an artist.
I love my Miley.
Oh. Death.
And her music. It's worth living through whatever you got to get to the talent when it comes to what she does in the studio.
I don't even know what I was doing because I'm an artist. I just have it. I don't even know how I got this glitter all over myself.
She just announced her new hairstyle, which she's talking about in the news, which is bleached blonde hair, awkwardly short bangs. Looks like it just got out of bed. She calls it her Swedish porn star hair. Yeah.
Come on.
I don't even know I cut my hair, because my hair is an artist's hair. It just happened that way.
I thought it was pretty cool.
It's Fire Marshal Bill.
Really
was. She's the worst. She's the absolute worst.
So you like her.
She's the worst person alive, turns
you know.
Out. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's official. They just did some scientific research.
Oh.
What else do I got of interest? Oh, this bothers me. This shouldn't happen. Didn't anyone in this group see Poltergeist?
Sure.
Apparently, there is a proposed water treatment plant in Minnesota that they're going to build on an ancient Indian burial site.
Don't do it.
Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. There's a burial mound, according to the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, called Rattlesnake Effigy. Oh, they're going to be a Coachella. They're so good. They've gone electric, though. They've lost some of their fans. So they are using ground-penetrating radar to see if they can find bodies down there and whatnot before they make the final decision on where they're going to put this water treatment plant.
Smell it.
That's one way you can test, I suppose. But don't do it, because I remember that, and the next thing you know...
You are all going to die tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
And Carol Ann's talking to the TV.
It's bad
times. Then you
got
to throw the rope in the closet.
Oak trees eating people.
And then, you did it! You moved the gravestones! But you didn't move the bodies!
It's real good.
Craig T. Nelson's all in your face.
Oh.
It's a bad move. Don't do it. Minnesota. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Norah Jones is 37 years old today.
You probably know her, right, Ralph?
What? Because of all the time we hung out together at Ravi Shankar's house? What? What? What?
I thought it was likely that you have spent time with Miss Jones because of your mutual good friend, Seth MacFarlane. I thought
I'm just saying,
sense.
Why don't you say less?
All right,
well,
Kevin.
Thank
I
you,
hear
Kevin.
You.
So glad you're back, buddy. Thanks for coming back. Hey, where are you going? Hey, Kevin, where are you going? Hey, come on.
I feel like you probably go to lots of those, you know, Hollywood dinner parties and whatnot, and probably become friends with some of Seth's friends, and it seemed like that would be a likely choice. No?
Celine Dion is 48 years old today. Piers Morgan turns 51. Ian Ziering is 52. Eric Clapton turns 71 years old today. Warren Beatty is 79 years old. Bean, I would think you're a friend of Warren Beatty's, aren't you?
Why would you imagine that?
Well, he made a movie called Shampoo, and you've been known to use shampoo on occasion. So I would assume that you probably know each other. You guys probably hang out.
Does it work like
that? You have shampoo in common.
I had a legitimate question about people who live in the same city that have mutual friends. I thought it's very possible you knew each other. That was not a ridiculous assumption of mine.
Will you shut up?
Were you on Supermarket Sweep at any time?
Shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
And MC Hammer's birthday's today. Hit it, Steve! Oh, yeah.
Homeboy, you can't touch this.
Hey, what's that inside your parachute pants? Oh, sorry.
Look at my eyes.
But it's poking out. Just once. Just let me, just one finger. Oh, I can't touch it. I can't touch it.
Shut down.
No.
It's no fun. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Yeah, you are. And yeah, you do. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back with an all-new Kevin and Bean show. 50-50 on Kevin's return tomorrow, you guys.
Nah. I'm taking action.
We might be right in this ship. We'll see what happens. But we do have a good show either way because Dr. Jupinski joins us for his weekly visit on Thursdays. We have more tickets up close for April Foolishness. And that's my John section. Got a brand new internet roundup. Andrew Siciliano is joining us tomorrow.
What?
And I know what you're thinking. Aren't we many weeks away from NFL action? Yes. He is a crazy Syracuse basketball fan because he went to Syracuse. He's an Orangeman, and he is going to burst if he doesn't get a chance to talk on the radio about how unlikely their trip to the road of the Final Four is.
Yes, we understand burst.
No hand motions.
No, we don't need that.
That's not what we're talking about. I'm just saying he's excited about the Orangeman.
He goes that far? Yeah. Wow.
Wants to talk about it. And Ralph, I don't know if you know this or not, but we lined up a guest just for Allie.
Nora Jones? My friend Nora Jones?
No, Nora couldn't make it tomorrow, but listen to who Allie is going to interview tomorrow. And we are going to sit back and listen.
Not coming in.
Steve Kazizix?
Nope.
Nope. Oh. Dr. Pimple Popper is going to be joining us tomorrow.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
She has the YouTube channel. If you weren't with us yesterday, she's got the YouTube channel that has millions of hits of people who watch her. She's a Southern California dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts videos up of her popping lipomas.
Lancing.
Does a lot of lancing.
Yes. A lot of extractions.
Extracting blackheads. Yeah. Popping pimples, doing all sorts of things to people's skin.
We should put her together with Mr. Skin. We should start a business together.
She would have a field day with Mr. Skin. He has so much skin. But anyway, it's crazy how a medical procedure that some people would consider A, gross, and B, private, has turned into this thing on the internet
A spectator sport now.
Yes.
It's really odd.
It's a spectator sport. So we'll talk to Dr. Pimple Popper as well. That's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.